gated. I saw move, Chairperson. Kalebucha.
Thank you very much, Honorable He. We will now move on to motions without notice. I will now, Honorable Delegates, allow an opportunity to delegate who wish to move motions without notice. Of course, the indication, let me just indicate there that 20 minutes in total is allocated for these motions. And I'll try and follow the lists on the screen. The first person is Mikalakis, to be followed by Honorable Khai. Let's start with Mikalakis. Honorable Mikalakis.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On behalf of the Democratic Alliance, I hereby wish to move without notice that this council notes that Masinoniana local municipality has still not paid its employees their salaries for May due to cash flow issues. That employees were yesterday offered an insulting 1,000 rand food voucher instead of their salaries. Since at least the 2017-18 financial year, it has received a disclaimer audit opinion for not submitting its financial statements to the Auditor General. Ironically, the failure to disclose came just after the AG was given the powers to refer wrongdoing to the law enforcement agencies. The most recent audit outcome was no exception, a disclaimer again. The MM is currently suspended, but not for his maladministration, and the mayor is facing charges of incitement to violence. Yet there has been absolutely no consequence management for top officials or politicians for ruining this municipality financially whatsoever. And lastly, that this council condemns the theft and incompetence that is rife at this municipality and requests National Treasury to intervene in taking the necessary steps to ensure that a full investigation is done into the financial management of this municipality without further delay. I so move.
Thank you very much. There any objection to the motion? None. There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Khai.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings. I hereby move without notice on behalf of the African National Congress that the House notes with sadness the untimely passing away of His Majesty King Zanu-Zuko Chelovuyo Sigcawu of the Kingdom of Amampondo. Zanu-Zuko. Further note that King Zanu-Zuko Sigcawu was a great leader and one of the reigning monarchs who unequivocally embraced democracy and be remembered for being the epitome of unity within Amampondo royal house. King Zanu-Zuko Sigcawu served the people of the Kingdom of Amampondo with great distinction during his reign and was highly respected by his people and South Africa at large. We extend our deepest condolences to Her Majesty Queen Zuziwe Victoria Nobandla, his sisters, his children, the royal family of Amampondo and Amampondo Nation. I so move. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Khai. Any objection to the motion? None. Zanu-Zuko. We will then proceed to Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you very much, Chair. On behalf of the Democratic Alliance, I hereby move without notice that this council notes that last week the Lydenburg Magistrates Court found the Tabachiro municipality guilty of the contravention of the National Water and Environmental Law Acts. Further notes that this was after the DA laid charges in 2018 and 2020 against the municipality and its municipal manager. Again notes that since 2011, the community of Mashishing have been complaining to the municipality about the sewer spillages and contamination of water supplies, but a blind eye was turned to these complaints. Also notes that this prompted the DA to lay charges relating to pollution, as the municipality was allowing and directing sewer spillages directly into the Dorps River and not reporting this to the communities who were using this river as their water lifeline. Further notes that the court penalized the municipality with 10 million rand, of which half was suspended for 5 years on condition that it is not convicted of a similar offense during the suspension. Notes that effectively 4.8 million is to be used in urgent repairs and refurbishment of the municipal infrastructure. 200,000 rand is to be used as payment for compensation to the Department of Environmental Affairs in equal shares for expenses incurred during the investigation stages. This is not only a victory for the DA, but a victory for the community of Maasvlakte, whom were directly affected by the pollution of the rivers and streams. And finally notes that the DA and the community will continue to carry out oversight inspections to ensure that the municipality adheres to the deadlines and sanctions laid down by the court. I so move. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion? None. And there being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Christian.
Thank you, Chairperson. On behalf of the Democratic Alliance, I hereby move without notice that this Council notes that just a week after Kochse in the Northern Cape won a court order against Eskom to provisionally unfreeze Renosterberg Municipality's bank account, the municipality was again plunged into an even deeper crisis after the Philipstown Ratepayers Association obtained a court order to freeze the municipality's bank account. Notes with concern that the new litigation means that Renosterberg will not be able to service its outstanding debt of around 93 million rand, still owed to Eskom, nor will it be able to pay salaries. This is despite staff of Renosterberg only having received 2 basic salary payments courtesy of the Premier's office and 0 pension, medical and other contributions since November 2021. Further notes that service delivery in Renosterberg has come to a standstill and that sewage is flowing into the Van der Kloof Dam and that the municipality has no access to funds to purchase diesel for its refuse and sewage trucks. Acknowledges that there is nothing this municipality can do to save itself, given that it is indebted, it is bankrupt, and services have collapsed. And furthermore, there is no political will by the provincial government to pull the municipality out of the condition it currently is, and resolves that Renosterberg is in need of the highest level of national intervention available, namely a Section 139.7 intervention. I so move. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion? None. There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Professor.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On behalf of the Democratic Alliance, I hereby move without notice that this Council notes that 5 years of litigation and 5 court orders later, the court has finally ordered the district to provide water to indigenous residents of 5 villages in the Flag Bushilu West Limpopo area. However, still left with no access to water despite a 143 million rand pledge by Minister Lindiwe Sisulu in 2020. Further notes that despite disobeying court orders, the municipality was also bound and found in willful contempt of court in 2019. Again, notice that no reaction was received after submission of the petition to the Office of the Presidency and the Department of Water and Sanitation in November 2021, and that this House takes note of the failure of the Sekhukhune District Municipality to comply with their mandate in providing a basic human need and a constant human and the constitutional human right to the communities of Flag Bushilu West. The 7,000 petitioners are subjected to inhumane conditions, failed by every they approach, leading to access to life-giving water.
Just a minute. Can I ask Honorable Njadu there in the background, just to make sure that the proceedings are not in any way disturbed. And this applies to all other members. Let's really ensure that we remain orderly. Honourable Professor, please proceed.
Chair, I do not know where I lost eyes.
We are losing you, Honourable Professor. Please unmute or make sure that
this House takes note of the failure of Sikh municipality to comply with the mandate in providing a basic human need and a constitutional human right to the communities of Flag Bushilo West. The 7,000 petitioners are subjected to inhumane conditions failed by every government structured approach, needing to have access to life-giving water. I so move. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion? None. There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Mletsane.
Thank you, Chairperson. I rise on behalf of the Economic Freedom Fighters with motion without notice that the Council should note that the appalling state of municipalities in South Africa, as only 16% of South African of the municipalities in South Africa were given a clean audit by the Auditor General for the 2020-2021 financial year. That the House should further note that the municipalities in the Free State province stand on the brink of collapse as none received a clean audit. As per the Consolidated General Report on the Local Government Audit Outcome, the House should further acknowledge that the three municipalities in the Free State province, Maludiapofung, Dokoloho and Masilonyana, are among those which cannot account for their finances. Further acknowledge that there exists a worrying trend regarding financial management and accounting practices in the Free State. As every year, those three municipalities fail to account for their finances, with no steps taken to address this matter. The House should also recognize that good financial management in the public sector requires that the spending of public funds must be accurate, correct, and according to the prescribed policies, processes, and legislation. As EFF, we call for government intervention in this province of Free State in order to ensure that budgets are prepared for properly and that finances are managed properly. I so move. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Is there any objection to the motion? None. There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honourable Okam.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, on behalf of the Democratic Alliance, I hereby move without notice that this Council notes with concern the failure by the Gasigonyana local municipality in the Northern Cape to deliver basic sewer and water services as contained in Chapter 2 of the Constitution of South Africa. Again notes with concern the fact that the outflow of the Kuruman Eye, a natural spring that daily delivers more than 20 million litres of water, is being contaminated due to raw sewer flowing into the furrow downstream of the Kuruman Eye. Further notes that there are several sewer pump stations in the town of Kuruman that are regularly out of order and that the sewer overflow of these defective pump stations is directly or indirectly flowing into this furrow that is supposed to provide water to the people of Gasigonyana. Notes with concern that this furrow, as well as the two cement canals either side of the furrow, has not been cleaned and maintained for many years, which led to the fact that they are blocked from flowing through the town of Kuruman to the rural villages further downstream, and that these blockages in effect created large dams of sewer contaminated water in the town of Kuruman. Also notes that the failure to clean this furrow and canals, as well as the sewer contamination thereof, is having a devastating effect on the underground water quality and also holds on an enormous health risk to the people of Gasikonyana. That this house calls upon Gasikonyana local municipality to rectify these problems by immediately cleaning and thereafter continuously maintaining the furrow and canals, as well as to repair and maintain the sewer pump stations that are contaminating this precious water system, and request that the Green Scorpions investigate this matter and also ask them to monitor the progress of these urgently required actions that need to be taken. I so move.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion? None. There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Tim, brother sir.
Please note me also, Chair Jadu.
Thank you, Chairperson. On behalf of the Democratic Alliance, I hereby move without notice that this Council notes with grave concern the ongoing and persistent crisis of political violence in the killing fields of KwaZulu-Natal. Notes that President Ramaphosa established an interministerial task team in 2018 to combat the scourge. Notes that despite this intervention, over 300 cases of political violence have been registered with the SAPS since 2018. Notes that five councillors, one former MPL, six prominent activists, and four Isinduna have been tragically murdered since September 2021, and that other councillors have narrowly escaped attempts on their lives. Further notes that in Echigwini alone, 34 councillors and four officials have close protection services allocated to them, comprising 94 bodyguards and 50 vehicles, all as a result of the credible political violence threats. Note that the Morani Commission report, released in September 2018, calls on the political parties involved to urgently lessen tension and competition between their members. Calls on these political parties to account to this House on measures taken by them to implement the Morani recommendations, and calls on the Minister of Police, Honourable Becky Kele, to urgently brief this House on the progress of all political violence cases in KZN and the concrete actions being taken to reduce the scourge. I so move.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion? There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honourable Gillian.
Honourable Chairperson, I hereby move without notice on behalf of the African National.
There's a problem there with the system. Honourable Gillian, if you can try again.
Honourable Chair Njadu.
Noted, Njadu. Honourable Gillian, if you can try again. We'll for now leave Honourable Gillian and go on to Honourable Shaikh. Honourable Shaikh.
Thank you very much, Honourable Jefferson. I rise on behalf of the African National Congress that the Council notes with utmost concern that the city of Cape Town, which has been hailed as the post of the best performing municipality, has shown regressive financial management and reporting in the last couple of years under the leadership of the Democratic Alliance. Further notes that according to the 2020-21 Consolidated General Report on Local Government Audit Outcomes Report that was released by the Auditor General, Ms. Takani Maluleke, the city of Cape Town was the biggest contributor to the $1.2 billion in irregular expenditure incurred by the Western Cape municipalities in the 2020-21 financial year. Acknowledges that while the Western Cape came out on top, having 22 of the 41 municipalities with clean audits, the city of Cape Town Metro was flagged for being the number one contributor of irregular expenditure at $762 million. And the day-run Stellenbosch municipality has incurred irregular expenditure of $89.8 million, while Knysna was the third largest contributor at $67.7 million irregular expenditure. And take this opportunity to call on the city of Cape Town to come clean and take action against those who have shown utter subversion and disregard of the Municipal Finance Management Act. I so move. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion?
Object. Object.
There being an objection, the motion may not be proceeded with and will become a notice of a motion.
Chairperson, sorry, I'm back.
We'll move on to Bartlett first before we go back to Gillian. Bartlett?
Honorable Chair? Honorable Chairperson?
Yes.
Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you're audible.
Okay. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair. I hereby move with a motion without notice on behalf of the African National Congress that the House firstly welcome the recent report by the Ministers of Home Affairs and Transport, Honorable Aaron Motsoaledi and Honorable Fikile Mbalula, for the swift arrest of the 4 illegal Bangladeshis and 4 Pakistani nationals who allegedly arrived at Oor Tambo without necessary legal documents. And second, the Honorable Chairperson notes that according to reports, Minister Motsoaledi has emphasized that because of Africa does not have transit visas, that has made it easy for illegal foreigners to make their way illegally into the country. And thirdly, Honorable Chairperson, therefore call on the government to put in place the necessary mechanisms to stop this kind of illegal entering into the country. I so move, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion? None. There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Gillian.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm here. Yes.
Please proceed.
Please allow me to not switch on my video because of bad network, please, Chair. Chairperson, I hereby move without notice on behalf of the African National Congress that the House notes that the Cape Town City's controversial safety and security investigation unit has once again come under scrutiny, this time about the recent recovery of a firearm allegedly found last week at the home of one of its unit's members. Further note that the Glock 9mm pistol was reported missing in March 2020 after it was allegedly stolen from a member of the same unit but was recovered in the ceiling of another one. Further note that the Minister of Police indicated that this unit operated outside the law, as he said it was not established outside the law, in terms of the Police Act. Therefore, call on the police to leave no stone unturned in the investigation about this pistol and the involvement of the members of the unit. I so move, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any objection? There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Mzamai.
Kalibuha Chairperson, can you allow me to not use my...
Please, proceed.
Okay. I raise on behalf of the Economic Emancipation Movement, EFF, that Council in its next sitting debate the issue of poor service delivery, which is one of the biggest challenges faced in South Africa today. Municipalities across the country do not have the required resources to fulfill basic service, as is the case in Emfuleni Municipality, Zone 12 Extension 2, where the residents have been without electricity for 4 years. This is concerning to note as a poor service delivery and general poor government service lead to the decline of resources, job losses, and overall poor living condition. I so move, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion? None. There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Nchabele.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Allow me to rise without notice on behalf of the African National Congress that this House notes with sense of appreciation the 80th birthday of Africa's giant revolutionary intellectual of the 20th and 21st century, the former President Thabo Mbeki. The significant role that former President Mbeki played in the rebuilding of Africa, his integration in the global economy, and his peace-building efforts. Further take this opportunity to celebrate the former President Mbeki for demonstrating loyalty to the people and the country above personal interest by stepping down upon request by his own party to avoid political instability. Therefore, call upon this August House to extend this message of good wishes to former President Mbeki on his 80th birthday and wishes him the best in many other years to come. I so move, Ngiyakhetha. Ke lebohile.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Ntshabele. Any objection to the motion? None. There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Honorable Njadu.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairperson. Without a notice, Honorable Chairperson, I hereby move on behalf of the African National Congress that this House notes with concern the political instability that continues wrecked the Western Cape legislature since the recent past. At the core of this instability is the bullying tactics of the Democratic Alliance by abusing its majority to institutionalize lawlessness and unethic conduct. This is evident in the series of reports that include the findings by the public protector about meddling by the MEC for local government in the appointment of senior personnel in George municipality, and the latest allegations of abuse of official residence by Premier Alan Windey for DA caucus party political activities. Therefore, calls on the DA leadership to walk the talk of clean and ethical governance by investigating these allegations in a transparent and open manner and act appropriately. I so moved. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. An objection to the motion?
I object, yes, sir.
There being an objection, the motion may not be proceeded with and will become a notice of the motion. Honorable Nkosi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I hereby move without notice on behalf of the African National Congress that their House notes that the legendary poet, writer, and publisher James Matthews has been honored with the Department of Sports, Arts, and Culture Awards, which recognizes living legends in the arts and culture sector. Further note that Matthews received the Fantuka of Living Legends Recognition Series Awards at ceremony in Cape Town over the weekend. Also note that through his extensive body of work, only armed with a pen, Matthews was fiercely committed to politically and social justice and was awarded the National Order of the Ikhamanga in silver for his excellent achievement in literature. We therefore congratulate James Matthews on this achievement and wish him all the best in his future endeavors. I so move, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the motion? There being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Fantuka. Thank you very much. Honorable Mthethwa.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I hereby move without notice that the Council note and welcome the swift arrest of the Gupta brothers, who were listed as South African most wanted suspect I further note that Rajesh and Aluta Gupta were wanted for their alleged involvement in a massive and grand scale of corruption, fraud, money laundering, and bribery. Gupta's and bribe and capture government contracts and misappropriation of the state asset. That's the systematically exhausted public funds for their personal gratifications and enrichment. And I further take this opportunity to express its support of the process to ensure that they are speedily extradited to South Africa to face the full mighty of the law. I so move, Honorable Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Mtetwa. Any objection to the motion? None. And there being no objection, the motion is agreed to in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We will now proceed to the first and second orders. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome the MECs and all permanent and special delegates to the House. We will now proceed to the first and second orders. The first being consideration of report of Select Committee on Security and Justice, announcement tablings and committee reports, 15 June 2022, page 116, draft notice and schedule submitted in terms of Section 2.4 of the Charges, Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act 2001, Act No. 47 of 2001, determining the rate of which salaries are payable to Constitutional Court judges and judges annually dated 15 June 2022. Secondly, consideration of a report of a Select Committee on Security and Justice, announcement tablings and committee report 15 June 2022, page 117. Draft notice and schedule tabled in terms of Section 12.3 of the Magistrate Act 1993, Act Number 90 of 1993, determining the rate of which salaries are payable to magistrates annually, dated 15 June 2022. I now call on Honorable S. Shaikh, Chairperson of the Select Committee on Security and Justice, to present the committee report. Honorable Shaikh.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and to all members that are on this platform. Honorable Chairperson, in terms of the Judges' Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act 2001, Constitutional Court judges and judges are entitled to annual salaries and such allowances or benefits as determined by the President from time to time, after taking into account the recommendation of the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers. Furthermore, in terms of the Magistrates Act 1993, magistrates are entitled to annual salaries and such allowances or benefits as determined by the President from time to time, after taking into account the recommendation of the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers. On the 27th of May 2022, the draft notices and schedules containing the President's determination were submitted to Parliament for approval before publication and was referred to the Committee for Consideration and Report. On the 15th of June 2022, the Committee was briefed on both draft notices and schedules as follows. The Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers recommended a 3% salary increment to the President for all office bearers, including judges and magistrates, for the 2021-22 financial year with effect from the 1st of April 2021. The Commission gazetted its report on the remuneration of all office bearers on the 30th of March 2022. The Commission considered, amongst others, the submissions from the various stakeholders, the fiscal condition of the state, the state's wage bill, the impact of the salary increment of the state's office bearers on the fiscus, the general economic status of the country as affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, and the affordability of the fiscus. The President, having considered the serious economic situation of the country and the Independent Commission's recommendations, has proposed to determine a 3% increase to the salaries of the Constitutional Court judges and judges of other courts and the magistrates, respectively. Honourable Chair, the recommendations of the committee are as follows. With regard to the first order, the Select Committee on Security and Justice, having considered the draft notice and schedule determining the rate with effect from the 1st of April 2021, at which salaries, allowances, and benefits are payable to Constitutional Court judges and judges annually for approval by Parliament in terms of Section 2, Subsection 4 of the Judges' Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act 2001, recommends that the Council approve the said draft notice and schedule. And with regard to the second order, Honourable Chair, the Select Committee on Security and Justice, having considered the draft notice and schedule determining the rate with effect from the 1st of April 2021, at which salaries, allowances, and benefits are payable to magistrates annually for approval by Parliament in terms of Section 12, Subsection 3 of the Magistrates Act 1993, recommends that the Council approve the said draft notice and schedule. I thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Shaikh. And thank you very much, Honourable Delegates. I now put the question. The question is that the report be agreed to. Before we proceed to voting, I shall now allow provinces the opportunity to make their iterations of vote in terms of Rule 86, if they so wish. And just to remind all delegates, there's a maximum of 3 minutes per declaration. Any declaration? None. And that being the case, we shall now proceed to voting on the first order. And the question is that the report be agreed to. I now call on the provinces to cast their votes. When called upon to vote, heads of delegations must indicate whether they vote in favor, against, or abstain, and we shall do so in alphabetical order. We'll start with the Eastern Cape.
Thank you very much once again, Honorable Chairperson. Eastern Cape is voting in favor. Thank you.
Eastern Cape voting in favor. Free State.
Free State votes in favor, Honorable Chairperson of the Council.
Yes, Free State vote in favor. Gauteng.
Gauteng in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Gauteng is voting in favor. KwaZulu Natal.
KwaZulu Natal, iyayeseka sihlalo.
Iyayeseka. Limpopo.
Limpopo vote in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Limpopo is voting in favor. Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga vote in favor of the report, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Northern Cape.
Northern Cape vote in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Northern Cape vote in favor. Northwest.
Honorable Chair, Northwest favors the report.
Northwest voting in favor. Western Cape.
Western Cape supports the report.
Western Cape supports the report. Voting is now closed. Now to the declaration of the results. So 9 provinces voted in favor. I therefore declare the report agreed to in accordance with Section 65 of the Constitution. Thank you very much. Before I proceed to voting on the second order, I shall allow provinces the opportunity to make their declaration of votes in terms of Rule 86, if they so wish. Again, a reminder, maximum 3 minutes per declaration. Any declaration? None. We shall now proceed to voting on the second order, and the question is that the report be agreed to. I now call upon the provinces to cast their votes, and when called upon, heads of delegations must indicate whether they vote in favor, against, or abstain. We'll do so in alphabetical order. We'll start with the Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Eastern Cape vote in favor.
Eastern Cape is voting in favor. Free State?
Free State supports, Chair.
Free State supports. Gauteng?
Gauteng supports, Chair.
Gauteng supports. KwaZulu-Natal?
KwaZulu-Natal, yes,
KwaZulu-Natal, yes, Limpopo?
Limpopo support, Honorable Chairperson.
Limpopo support. Mpumalanga?
Mpumalanga vote in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Mpumalanga vote in favor. Northern Cape?
Northern Cape vote in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Northwest?
Northwest, yeah, Manokeng, reported, Honorable Chairperson.
Northwest agrees.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Western Cape?
Western Cape support.
Western Cape supports. Having closed the voting, nine provinces now declaring the vote, the results. Nine provinces voted in favor. I therefore declare the report agreed to in accordance with Section 65 of the Constitution. We will now proceed, Honorable Delegates, to the third and fourth orders. The third order, consideration of report of select committee on transport, public service and administration, public works and infrastructure, ATC, 15 June 2022, page 113. Draft regulation 116A in terms of section 75.6 of the National Road Traffic Act of 1996, Act number 93 of 1996, dated 15 June 2022. The fourth order being consideration of the report of the Select Committee on Transport, Public Service and Administration, Public Works and Infrastructure, ATC, 15 June 2022, page 115, protocols relating to the amendments to Article 50A and 56 of the Convention on International Civil Aviation, dated 15 June 2022. I now call on Honorable K.M. Mwima, Chairperson of the Select Committee on Transport, Public Service and Administration, Public Works and Infrastructure, to present the committee report. Honorable Mwima.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the Chair and the leadership of the House. Correctly so, Chair, this is the report on the draft regulation 116 in terms of Section 75.6. At the beginning, let me indicate that we are reporting to the House that the committee did not agree to the draft regulation. First, the process that we followed, Chair. In terms of Section 75.6 of the National Road Traffic Act, before the minister makes any regulations, the minister may, if he or she deems it expedient, cause a draft, the proposed regulations to be published in the packet, together with a notice calling upon all interested parties to lodge in writing and within a period specified in the notice, but not less than 4 weeks. It is important, Chair, just to indicate that the draft regulation 116A was referred to the committee on the 22nd April 2021. The department briefed the committee on 10 November 2021, and the committee agreed as follows, that the members should take the draft regulations to their respective party caucus for guidance. Secondly, the draft regulation should be sent back to the draft to incorporate issues raised by the committee, and the department should conduct further extensive consultation. Thirdly, the Parliament's Constitutional and Legal Services Office should be requested to provide a legal opinion on the constitutionality of Section 32.3A of the National Roads Traffic Act, whether it is in line or is in conflict with the latest SADC treaties. On the 23rd April 2022, the committee received and deliberated on the legal opinion from the Parliament's Constitutional and Legal Services Office. The committee chair welcomed the legal opinion and resolved that the Department of Transport withdraw
the draft regulations and allow the parliamentary process to amend the National Rules Act to be completed. This will cover the areas which the draft regulations need to address. The committee did not agree to the draft regulations as indicated. Madam House Chair, we comment to the National Council of Province that adopt this report. The second report, Chair, is on the Chicago Convention relating to the amendments to Article 58 and 56 of the Convention. Honorable House, National Chairperson, we are making a current call to the Honorable Members of the House to vote and adopt the ratification of the protocols relating to the amendments to Article 58 and 6 of the Convention. South Africa, as a member state of the ICAO, ratified the Chicago Convention on the 4th of April 1947. This convention, National Chair, was incorporated into the national legislation through Schedule 3 of the Civil Aviation Act No. 18 of 2009. South Africa, Chair, is currently a member of the ICAO Council under Part 2. States which make the largest contribution to the provision of facilities for international civil navigation since 2003. At the 39th of the International Civil Aviation Organization Assembly held in 2016, the Assembly adopted two protocols amending one Article 15, which provides that the ICAO Council shall be a permanent board responsible to the Assembly, and it shall be composed of 36 contracting states elected to the Assembly. Article 56, which provides that the Air Navigation Commission shall be composed of 19 members appointed by the Council from among the nominated contracting states. The proposed amendments are as follows, National Chair. Article 58 of the Convention provides for the increase in the size of the Council from 36 members to 40 members. Secondly, Article 56 of the Convention provides for the increase in the membership of the Air Navigation Commission from 19 members to 21 members. These amendments are necessary due to the following: the large increase in the membership of the ICAO and the expansion of international air transport and national economies in many countries. Secondly, the current membership of the Council, the ICAO, does not strike a better balance due to increased representation of contracting states. Thirdly, the expertise and experience from diverse operational states and knowledge can be drawn from the new contracting state. After thorough consultation, Chair, the committee recommends that the House adopt the report. Thank you, Chair.
Unmute, Chair.
Yeah,
I don't know, is there anything wrong with the chairperson's gadget?
Right. Are you back, chairperson? I was muted here. There are some people who are manipulating the system from the other side of the universe. Thank you very much. And I put the question is that the report be agreed to. But before we proceed to with the voting, I shall allow provinces the opportunity to make the declaration of vote in terms of Rule 86, if they so wish, and as indicated before, maximum 3 minutes per declaration. Any declaration? None. I see none on my screen here. We shall now proceed to the voting of the third order. And the question is that the report be agreed to. I now call upon provinces to cast their votes, and when called upon heads of delegation, as a vote must indicate whether they vote in favor, against, or abstain. We shall do so in alphabetical order. We'll start with the Eastern Cape.
Pondo Le Kapa. Votela kuyixhasa le ngxelo.
Iyaxhasa Eastern Cape, Free State.
Free State was in favor.
Free State voted in favor. Gauteng.
Gauteng in favor, Chairperson.
Gauteng in favor, KwaZulu Natal.
KwaZulu Natal, yes, Kasihlalumbi.
Thank you very much, Limpopo.
Limpopo voted in favor, Chairperson.
Limpopo is voting in favor, as indicated by my hand. Mamarekhane, then Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga vote in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Vote in favor, thank you very much. Northern Cape.
Northern Cape vote in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Northern Cape vote in favor, Northwest.
Northwest supports, Honorable Chair.
Northwest supports, Western Cape.
Western Cape supports.
Western Cape supports. Now the voting is closed. And now to the declaration of the results. 9 provinces voted in favor. I therefore declare the report agreed to in accordance with Section 65 of the Constitution. We'll now move on to the fourth order. Before I proceed to voting, I shall now allow provinces the opportunity to make the declaration of vote in terms of Rule 86, if they so wish. Once again, 3 minutes maximum per declaration. Any declaration? None. We shall therefore proceed to voting on the fourth order, and the question is that the report be agreed to. I now call upon the provinces to cast their votes, and when called upon to vote, heads of delegation must indicate whether they vote in favor, against, or abstain. We'll do so in alphabetical order. We'll start with the Eastern Cape.
Eastern Cape. Makona mhlali ngaphambi lobekekileyo iphondo leMpuma Kapa liyayixhasa le ngxelo.
Iphondo leMpuma Kapa liyayixhasa ingxelo.
Free State supports Honorable Chairperson.
Free State supports the report. Gauteng.
Gauteng supports the report, Chairperson.
Gauteng supports the report. KwaZulu Natal.
KwaZulu Natal.
KwaZulu Natal. Limpopo.
Limpopo support in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Limpopo in favor. Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga supports, Honorable Chairperson.
Mpumalanga supports the report. Northern Cape.
Northern Cape supports, Honorable Chairperson.
Northern Cape supports the report. Northwest.
Northwest supports, Honorable Chair.
Northwest supports. Western Cape.
Western Cape supports, Honorable Chair.
Western Cape supports. Thank you very much. Having closed the voting, now for the declaration of the results. 9 provinces have voted in favor. I therefore declare the report agreed to in accordance with Section 65 of the Constitution. Thank you very much. We will now proceed to the fifth order. Consideration of consolidated report on the provincial week 29th March to the 1st of April 2022, assessing state capacity to respond to the needs of communities. Announcement tablings and committee reports, 9th June 2022, page 2. I now call upon the Honorable Nyambi, House Chairperson, Committees, to open the debate. Honorable Nyambi.
Thank you, Chairperson Honorable Masondo, Deputy Chair Honorable Lucas, House Chairperson Mengwenya, Chief Whip Ntate Mohai, MEC Special Delegates, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. the importance that the National Council of Provinces attaches to its provincial week is not just a matter of constitutionality. The prime responsibility that we have to provinces and local government. Rather, the provincial week provides for us the opportunity to assess whether the policies, programs, and budgets we pass through the appropriation bill and division of revenue are in fact having the intended impact on communities and targeted groups, as we'll be doing that on the 23rd. The Provincial Week 2022, Chair, it's one of the key mechanisms initiated by the NCOP to achieve its constitutional mandate of representing the provincial interest. It is intended to provide permanent delegates to the NCOP the opportunity to return to their provinces as delegations to deal with matters that affect their provinces in the national sphere of government. It also affords the NCOP the opportunity to undertake joint oversight with members of legislature and municipalities and work together in ensuring the continuous monitoring of progress in delivery of services in our respective communities, Chair. For Provincial Week 2022, our task was to focus on matters that affect the provinces in the national sphere of government. When we embark on our last provincial week from the 29th of March to the 1st of April 2022, with one and only one thing in our mind, and that was to assess whether the state possesses the necessary capacity to meet the needs of our communities. Chairperson, in doing so, we're fulfilling one of our constitutional mandates, which is to exercise oversight on the actions of the executive arm of the state. This we also did in order to make sure that we deal decisively with triple challenges, poverty, inequality, and unemployment. And indeed, if the capacity of the state is diminished, there's no way we can hope to deal with these triple challenges that we have not been backing down from since time immemorial. It was not lost to us when we visited different provinces, that South Africa still remained one of the most unequal societies in the world. The poorest of the poor are mostly Africans and reside in rural areas where the provision of services is work in progress. Not only is it work in progress, Chair, but it's also a revolving door where upon one department, it's offset by some kind of setbacks. One has the recent floods in mind, which has reversed all the gains that were made in the past years. Rural communities have been badly affected, and the urban counterparts have moved many steps forward in rebuilding their lives. Chairperson, we set off to assess the capacity of the state to deliver services to communities with different provinces, assuming different themes. This was a different approach to those that we have used in past engagements. This we did fully cognizant of the fact that South Africa is not one-size-fits-all state. Different communities in different provinces have different problems that are only unique to them, and they should be treated as such, Chair. We therefore had sub-themes looking at water and sanitation, electricity and infrastructure, small-scale farmers, safety and security, and local development. I will, however, limit my debate to the provision of electricity and provincial transport and road infrastructure, as well as school infrastructure, as I seek to respond to the question whether these were responding to the needs of communities. Our observation is typical mixed bag, Chair, which is laced with more positives than negatives. Whereas we're satisfied with efforts that provincial government are putting towards ensuring that the roads are receiving the necessary upgrades, we're also of the view that more needs to be done, especially on ring roads that connect communities to the immediate nodal points of service. Even with the best of intentions, it will take government many years of planning and putting together the necessary resources to deal with the legacy of apartheid spatial planning. It is common cause that many rural communities inhabit impossible and rugged terrain that will require massive investment to catch up with urban settlements, which have been better planned and executed. You do not have to look any further than communities on the outskirts of town to see that how devastating the effects of apartheid spatial planning have been. It has always been ivory and ebony, with Africans receiving the short end of the stick. Towns are built on the labor of the black masses, who ultimately have to revert to lives of hardship and poverty in villages. There is no incentive whatsoever to live in villages and townships as compared to towns and suburbs where services are in full supply. Chairperson, I can hear the opposition screaming, fix it, as they always do. That, Chairperson, is tantamount to arrogance of rich cousin who broke the bicycle of his poor relative and then refused to pay for its repairs. He constantly blames the poor cousin for owning a broken bicycle and for taking long to fix it. He derives pleasure in telling others what he could do with the bicycle should it be given to him, without admitting that he is responsible to breaking the very same bicycle. Chairperson, spoke by spoke, pedal by pedal, we're fixing the bicycle that our rich cousin has broken and refused to pay for its repairs. He constantly reminds us that the bicycle is ours, yet have not denied the fact that we acknowledge that the speed with which the repairs are being affected may not delight many, but we are making progress. It is, in our view, progress to know where exactly the challenges are. Through the provincial weeks that we have undertaken in the past year, we have been able to identify weak spots, some of which have already been attended to. This past one is not an exception. We have witnessed what is being done, and we know what still needs to be done. We have witnessed road rehabilitation progress that seek to fix the R32 between Grasscrop and Bushbuck Ridge, as well as the Panorama Road, which are by far Mpumalanga most famous tourism corridors. Once completed, this project will boost tourism, which has taken a knock due to the ravages of the COVID-19 pandemic. Chairperson, we also had an eye on whether provinces are able to provide safe and reliable scholar transport in rural areas, and the report that we should give you provide some form of comfort in Mpumalanga. For instance, scholar transport has since been moved from Department of Education to Department of Public Works and Road Transport. This happened in 2009 already, when the service level agreement was entered and between the two departments, allowing the role of responsibilities of each party. Following the service level agreement, a provincial scholar transport policy was developed, with a monitoring firm appointed to monitor scholar transport services. Scholar patrol teams are dispatched on all roads to ensure that buses ferrying learners meet the required safety standards. They are also there to ensure there are no overloads on scholar transport. Whereas, Chairperson, bus operators took us into their confidence to indicate that there have been instances of overloading, these are being attended to. The challenges were caused on the main by the variances in the numbers provided to the service providers by the department and the actual number of learners showing up at pickup points. Needless to say, Chair, the service providers has felt obliged not to leave any learner stranded on the side of the road. As indicated, we have been assured that these gaps are being closed, and we have no reason to believe that scholar transport provision is unsafe and unreliable. The numbers speak for themselves. We have not had any report of major incident involving scholar transport, and that what we wish to commend all stakeholders, as we implore them never to drop the ball. One life lost on our roads is one too many, and it definitely cannot be our learners. We are on course to eliminate the use of buggies as means to transport learners. It saddens us that there are some schools in some parts of the country which do not benefit from the provision of scholar transport. The reason provided range from rugged to the vastness of terrain to other administrative body names, which we wish to change, should we create effectively and immediately? Chairperson, it is easy to determine how future of our country will be, like by merely evaluating the extent to which it invests into school infrastructure in both rural and township school. We can safely report that the future of South Africa is bright, even though the brightness needs consistent polishing. There's a huge rollout of editorial classroom and few schools being built or in the planning phase in Mpumalanga. The provincial government is also providing mobile classes where they are required to alleviate short-term problems, overcrowding, and general shortages of classrooms. Chairperson, however, there are schools we still need require assistance, such as Lundini Primary School in Eastern Cape. The school was built, thought the efforts of the community without an assistance from the government. It is still a mud school, and we all require that this school cannot be allowed to exist in the current form. The pit latrines which are there cannot even accommodate the number of learners and teachers. There is also the case of Ngwati Secondary School, also in the Eastern Cape, which has got an enrollment of 933 learners, which only 10 teachers and 15 classrooms. The school has no principal and no deputy principal. This makes running the school a near impossible task. Such anomalies manifest in lower matric pass rate at the end of the year, with the trend normally favoring Western Cape, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal, who consistently post higher pass rates. We do note, Chair, Free State has been bucking the trend in the past few years. Chairperson, provision often resort to rationalization as the means to deal with assortment of challenges such as lower number of learners in school and in other cases, lack of classroom. We have advised that in the event where rationalization need to be implemented, consultation need to be thorough. We noted the discomfort which was caused by the announcement of the rationalization of Nduma Primary School in the Bushbuck Ridge area. One stance remains that indeed the voice of the community has to be heard and considered before any serious decision can be taken. Chairperson, there are, however, two reasons, challenges that state is confronted with even as it positions itself to meet the needs of communities. From 2008, the provision of electricity has been a major impediment towards delivery of services in some provinces like the one of ours. And the provision of water, Chairperson, and the issue of illegal connections, which contribute to the challenge of electricity supply, South Africa needs to stand together and claim responsibility for some of the things that cause instability to the energy supply. We have seen communication service and internet connectivity being disrupted, leading to major breakdown in services that are offered in hospital, home affairs offices, traffic department offices, and other aspects of community lives. This underscores the urgency that is required to deal with challenges which are currently facing ESCOM. We are, however, secured in the hope that the Minister of Finance, Public Enterprise, and the Minister of Mineral Resources are doing everything they can to fix the entity. The other challenge relates to budget constraint, Chair, which affect the speed with which repairs and maintenance could be affected on road, school, police station, and hospital all at once. South Africa economy is not growing fast enough to attend to the challenges, as we all know. Budget cuts are not only unique to the executive. Even Parliament has its budget being cut, and this may have a negative impact on how we fulfill our mandate. Our budgets are becoming something of short blankets where you can only cover the head while the feet remain exposed, or vice versa. The economy needs to grow faster than the current levels, with a lot of foreign direct investment required. It takes us back to our overarching observation.
As you Honourable Member,
the Auditor General's latest report on the latest of municipal finances points to the going forward, the NCOP is going to have to focus committee work far more on departments and entities and achieving the quality of expenditure that results in the type and impact of the people's life. In conclusion, Chair, despite all these challenges, we have confidence to declare that the state capacity is still reasonably sound to make meaningful intervention in our communities. I thank you, Tate Masondo, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. We'll now proceed to Honorable F. Bese from the Eastern Cape. Honorable Bese.
Greetings to you, Honorable Chair Ndade Masondo. Your established protocol is observed, Honorable Chair. Thank you. I'm presenting the report that is findings and recommendations of the NCOP during the provincial visit, provincial week in the Eastern Cape. First and foremost, let me zoom in to the issue of the Abambo cannabis farm, which is based in Port St. John's. The issue of licensing and permits be fast tracked by the Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform. The department, through Eastern Cape Rural Development Agency, is working with the DERRAT to facilitate issuing of hemp permits. Some farmers who applied in November 2021 have already received their permits. Others are asked to submit the outstanding documents that will make them to be eligible for hemp permits. The DERRAT opened that farmers can submit their applications forms for hemp permits for the cropping season of 2023-2024. This follows closing of the application process in March 2022 for those farmers who are interested to produce hemp in the cropping season of 2022-2023. The Eastern Cape Rural Development Agency is facilitating the application process and is assisting farmers with information and the application requirements. Again, government departments must assist with funding to grow the farms and create jobs. Dr. Tai has a budget of 10 million for cannabis this year. The department will also leverage funding from interested investors to assist the farmers to grow their production and to create jobs in cannabis farms or cannabis projects. The recommendation that the issue related to harassment by South African police services be escalated to relevant portfolios in the Eastern Cape legislature. MEC for Safety and Liaison and the Premier should look to that issue of the issue of harassment of the SAPS police. Yes. Number two, farmers are assisted to apply for hemp permits and are encouraged by only to produce hemp once they have the hemp permits. Regulation of cannabis production is a national mandate done by DERRAT and SAPRA, that is medicinal cannabis. Number three, Security Development and PTY LTD. The delegation recommended that in the process of providing support to farmers, the relevant departments should not interfere with methods of farming the cannabis. In this regard, it was pointed out that indigenous knowledge on methods of growing the cannabis should be preserved. The recommendations, again, Chair, Honorable Chair, is noted that cannabis producers are most of the time advised on the principles of increasing production in the sustainable manner. Tate Cannabis Farm. Delegates recommended that the Department of Agriculture and Land Reform to assist the emerging farmers with processing to attain permits to grow cannabis, as this may unlock funding for them. The Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform through Eastern Cape Rural Development Agency is working very close with the DERRAT to facilitate the issuing of hemp permits. To this end, some hemp permits which were applied for prior to March 2022 have already been issued. The ECRGA is also assisting farmers and facilitating their hemp permit application to ensure they meet the closing date of March 2023. In respect of water usage and scarcity, the delegation recommended that over and above the intervention to supply the farmers with water tanks, farmers must also train in permaculture system of preserving water for gardens. The recommendation is noted. The department has program seven, structured asset training. Program seven is part of Eastern Cape Cannabis Industry Development Strategy team. They will be asked to facilitate training on these farming practices that conserve water and soil. In the past 2 years, some of the radio talks were emphatic on the best practices of water and soil conservation like the proposed ones. The delegates also recommended that farmers be assisted with fencing as this might have negative effect on their production. One of the requirements when a farmer is applying for hemp permit is a well-fenced land. The department fences lands for those farmers who applied for fencing and have been screened through the department screening processes that their farming enterprise have economic benefit and create jobs. Relevant departments and the local municipality were requested to prioritize cannabis growers, as this is one of the priorities of government, as mentioned in the State of the National Address by the President. Dr. Dow works with other partners or strategic partners, national and provincial departments, and local municipalities and traditional leaders to develop the cannabis industry in the province. Honorable Chair, now I'm getting to general recommendations by the Eastern Cape delegations. Commitments to cannabis and hemp enterprise. The delegates urged the Eastern Cape provincial government to be serious about commercialization of cannabis and hemp and pleaded for implementation of SONA, SOPA, and the Dr. Dar 2021 policy speech pertaining to cannabis and hemp. The delegation also pleaded with Eastern Cape government to ensure involvement of economic cluster departments to be stakeholders on cannabis and hemp enterprises. The department is learning from the experience of the past and is sharpening the management of the industry. An increase of budget from 4.5 million to 10 million will facilitate more support to the farmers and more initiatives. The department will continue to request the provincial treasurer that when additional funds are available, it must be prioritized the business plan that was submitted for additional cannabis funding. The additional cannabis funding will assist with the establishment of the incubators the province is implementing currently. It will also assist in leveraging more funds from investors. Eastern Cape government assist cannabis initiatives that are presented and recommended and approved by authorized structures of the province, including the economic development cluster. However, Honorable Chair, I table the report for their adoption by the House. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. They keep on muting me there. There's someone at the table there who keeps on muting me. It creates some problems. Now, thank you very much. We'll now move to Honorable Ryder. But as we do so, I now hand over chairing of this part of the program to Honorable Ngwenya. Honorable Ryder.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Provincial Week is a chance for members of this House to fulfill our mandate as elective representatives. It's a program that has run for many years now, and so the poor arrangements this time around were experienced with considerable disappointment. As a principle, respect for each of the three spheres of government underpins cooperative governance. But the last-minute arrangements for the provincial week meant that the premiers, MECs, mayors and councillors were already committed in many instances, and we found ourselves meeting without the representatives from other spheres. Indignation was voiced in several provinces. Yet, what can we expect? Our lack of respect demonstrated in the last-minute arrangements got its deserved response. Noting the municipal finance cycle and the fact that Provincial Week was scheduled in the same week that municipal councils are required to meet to pass their annual budgets, it's no wonder that mayors and MMCs were not present to meet with us. Imagine a whole council of provinces with no understanding of the provinces of a sphere of government that we are tasked with enabling. But do not say that you were not warned. There was a lone voice in the WIPS meeting that drew attention to this ahead of time. But of course, that voice was ignored because it's a DA voice from the Western Cape. Waza 2024. Let's look at some of the arrangements that we had. The Eastern Cape oversight was split into two groups. That's in spite of the fact that only three MPs participated, partly because Mr. Nkiva had much nicer functions to attend in Cape Town where his royal-sized ego could be stroked. Rushing around and making it up as we went along was the description of the Eastern Cape Provincial Week. In the Northwest, a similar farce unfolded, also with only three of the six members in attendance. Though here it seemed more like malicious intentions than just incompetence that derailed the oversight. The delegation was taken to Patrice Motsepe's farm to see a private renewable energy project, far from where the focus should be in this dysfunctional province. Interactions with the provincial officials, when they did happen, showed a lack of certainty as to whether the province was still under Section 100 administration or not. Wow. Promises of imminent project launches ring hollow as nothing has happened 3 months later. But let me focus on what we saw in the Gauteng province. An extra day was added at the start of the program to focus on the disastrous state of hospitals in Gauteng. Not because it fitted with the theme, but because of absolute necessity. What was witnessed there was low staff morale, staff and equipment shortages, failed projects with no clear recovery plans, and buildings that have been allowed to decay to a point where they are a safety hazard. The lack of management is just proof that the NHI is doomed to failure under this administration due to poor management at implementation level. Then we turn to the land invasions and the informal settlements in the south of Gauteng, which started as an ANC project to secure electoral wins. It obviously found fertile ground driven by the population growth in an area established in the forced removals of the 60s and 70s, which this government has failed to fairly address with their housing programs. The need has been exacerbated by the in-migration from neighboring countries and also from desperate people fleeing the hopelessness of other provinces. But the EFF then hijacked the land invasion project, ably assisted by Herman Mashaba. Yes, that's one of the reasons he lost the support of his caucus. But control has now been totally lost, and now the land invasion project is run by gangs of criminals. The land grabs are well coordinated and well supported. Gangsters used to sell the stands, which don't belong to them, for 3,500 rand each. Now the price is up to 3,800, with the extra 300 rand going to legal fees. Why do you think that is? It's because the PIE Act, the Prevention of Illegal Evictions, a well-intentioned act, has become the most abused piece of legislation on the statute books. Add to that the unwarranted protection that the disastrous lockdown regulations gave the land grabbers, and you have a problem of a magnitude that is simply staggering. An unfunded mandate pushed down on provinces and municipalities to follow court processes, evict and remove land grabbers, and then provide them with alternative accommodation regardless of the circumstances. The DA will be tabling a private member's bill to amend the PIE Act to ensure that it protects all in South Africa, be they tenants or landowners, and ensure that the spirit of the law is upheld and justice is the end result. One of the primary issues with land grabs is the detrimental effect on social cohesion. As grabbers move into areas affecting property values and sales, due to perceptions of higher crime and safety concerns, the formerly settled community is heavily impacted. The infrastructural capacity designed for planned loads is then placed under tremendous strain, as unplanned loading of two or three times the design capacity causes infrastructural breakdown, causing electricity outages, water supply problems, traffic congestion, and safety concern, not to mention the demands on local government services such as and other services such as clinics, police stations, and schools. The result is conflict and resentment. A site visit to the Sebokeng Wastewater Treatment Works, the culprit for the Vaal River pollution, was an eye-opener. Confusion between the operators and the user cities as to the capacity of their plant has delayed housing projects. But there's no plan to build more works, no new thinking, and the works managers too scared to go to site after dark. Which brings me to this report, which has been pushed through various provinces without following due process. While some provinces have indeed adopted the report, in Gauteng, a meeting was held to discuss a draft report. But the final report, comprising 7,800 words, contains 500 words that were not included in the document presented to us at that particular meeting. The Northwest report, the Free States report, and the Eastern Cape report were never considered. And yet the consolidated report was pushed through the ATC and lies before us today. Delegation meetings are not happening as they should due to the arrogance of the ANC. Waza 2024. In closing, Chair, this report is something of a whitewash, with many of the correct observations noted, but with a sanitized version of the truth. The people on the ground know the truth, honorable members. We know the truth. Your sanitized reality may suit your political narrative as the ANC, but by producing a document such as this, you show the people of South Africa that their struggles are not acknowledged by you. The Democratic Alliance rejects this report. Waza 2024. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Whilst waiting for Honorable Ngwenya, we will proceed. I think there's a bit of a problem there. We'll proceed. And as we proceed, we go to Honorable Dukwana. Honorable Dukwana.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Amos Masondo, Deputy Chairperson of the NCOP, Honorable Sylvia Lucas, Honorable Chief Whip Seiso Muhai, Chairperson of the session, members of the National Council of Provinces, provincial delegates, distinguished guests, and ladies and gentlemen, over 9 years ago, the former U.S. President Barack Obama famously said, I quote, "We know that people's frustrations run deeper than these most recent political battles. Their frustration is rooted in their own daily battles to make ends meet, to pay for college, buy a home, save for retirement. It's rooted in the nagging sense that no matter how hard they work, the deck is stacked against them, and it is rooted in the fear that their kids won't be better off than they were," unquote. We gather here today on this platform of Parliament to debate the Provincial Week held from 29 March to 1st April 2022, which has appropriately been themed Assessing State Capacity to Respond to the Needs of Communities. The Free State delegation focused on provision of water Honorable and sanitation Tukwana. Infrastructure. It visited water and sanitation projects, as well as water reticulation sites and special economic zones. Whilst as we're dealing with all these issues, we also want to indicate that the state capacity must never be understood mechanically to embody theoretical postulations which have no basis in the everyday lived experiences of our people. It must be understood within the context of changing people's life for the better. The following broad and practical questions must come to mind when we discuss the state capacity in relation to responding to people's needs. Does the state reflect our values and commitment as enshrined in Matupele principles? Does every citizen stand a reasonable chance of attaining social, political, and economic achievement? Are we succeeding in building an inclusive economy where in every person has something to be proud of? Chairperson, we are indeed honored to join this important debate.
Thank you very much. Maybe let's start. Do we have the agenda for the meeting, colleagues? Monique, I think you are the one who is assisting us in this process.
There's a bit of a problem on one.
So, of course.
He's muted and someone else is.
If you can just muted. Make sure that the people there in the background, Honorable Lucas, and whoever is with you there, please ensure that there are not disturbances. Honorable Dukwana, please proceed.
Can we get back to the house, please?
Honorable Dukwana, please proceed. Dukwana is muted. Mren, if you can just go back a bit. Before you are where you are now. Please proceed.
The opportunities for growth in small provinces has always been a subject of intense navigation and struggle. The political significance of this reality was that of control and domination. Our only value have been that of supplying cheap labor reserved for big cities. Otherwise, there is very little reason why the Free State province is not counted among the most viable provinces in South Africa, particularly if you consider that we are the only province that is adjoined to six provinces. It is precisely for these reasons that our province remains rural with an economy base that is extremely thin and scant. This means government has very little resources to provide services to communities and in turn, communities that cannot afford to pay for services. Secondly, the challenges faced by our municipalities are self-caused because of the past 10 years during which some people repurposed public resources meant for the poor masses of our people to benefit themselves and a few business interests. In our particular case, large sums of money were diverted from service delivery initiatives and surrendered directly into the hands of individuals. This has affected capacity of our municipality to act on behalf of the people, particularly the poor. No wonder we also, as the province, having gone through the audit process, the Auditor General has continued to emphasize the lack of accountability as that results in pervasive non-compliance, especially relating to procurement and deteriorating financial health. But as the Free State, we are committed and we have demonstrated our resolve under the leadership and the stewardship of the Premier, Sisi Ntombela, and the courage to set the proper tone of leadership and effective consequence management to ensure accountability and efficient use of the limited resources to effect quality service delivery. We have already activated this process, for instance, in areas such as Machabe, working together with various stakeholders, including especially the Department of Water and Sanitation, and the call for intervention is a process by which revenue collection is enhanced to enable municipality to service their account with service providers, including water boards, In this regard, we have established teams to assist municipality with revenue collection strategies. Furthermore, we will be intervening in instances where there are billing queries. Water boards will be engaged as well to zoom into challenges of arbitrary billing systems and penalty arrangement. We will also be insisting on strict adherence to various legislation, including Water Service Act, in the current period. When a challenge is prolonged, there usually begins to emerge resistance from sections that are mostly affected. We have started to experience a spate of service delivery protests across the province, a development which we have welcomed as a clear sign that it cannot be business as usual in local government. This, too, is how we handle matters in the ANC. We never run away from the challenges. We confront and transform them into opportunities. For a little over 6 months now, since we took over, there's been enthralling attention on the building of systems in local government. Our point of departure is that we are all created equal. We have a responsibility to secure equal opportunity for every citizen, regardless of their race, gender, and class. We want to cultivate a culture of hard work where people are rewarded on merit. We have started with building blocks towards municipalities that respond to the challenge facing our communities. We're establishing good communication channels between municipalities and other spheres of government, as well as between municipalities and the communities they serve. We want to build municipalities that embrace public participation as a cornerstone in improving service delivery. We have noted all critical issues raised by honorable members of the NCOP, and once again commit ourselves to ensuring that all municipalities are well managed and administered, that they are clean, that they facilitate opportunities, and that they attract investment. This is all we need to invest in the dignity of our people. We are frankly not expected to perform magic as government. Our people only want to have access to clean water, food, health care, education, and housing. The unprecedented horrors of the past, which made the collective lived experience of our people unbearable, must end and shall be ended. In this regard, let me end by quoting President Cyril Ramaphosa when he said, "We need a break from the past where departments worked in silos, fruitless expenditures on irrelevant projects was common, and where development was not aligned to national objectives," unquote. The president said this to echo the importance of implementing one plans in order to attain an ethical and genuinely democratic developmental state. This is an ideal to which all of us should commit. I thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me see.
We will have to then move on to Honorable Dango. But before Honorable Dango takes over, let me just indicate that I will now hand over to Honorable Lucas. Honorable Dango.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And Chairperson, thank you very much for pulling in for me while I was in hospital and leading the delegation in Gauteng, which you ably did. You created daily reports, you created the final report, and you facilitated the final report. And I'm assured by the administration that the reports are duly considered and adopted. But, Chairperson, we need to look at the given conditions on the ground, particularly in the south. In the south of Johannesburg, in Region G particularly, we have poor people who come from other provinces and indeed from Africa, impacting on their health, on the question of the environment, on the question of the provision of services, whatever those services may be. And, of course, this has led to negative equity in some instances. With various figures being bandied about between 1 million and 1.5 million, I'm not too sure what the figure is. Unplanned settlements with poor people. And what do poor people want most? Poor people want housing. They want water. They want sewage. They want education. And they want health services, etc. There's no army that's going to move those poor people. Not for the amount of people that are there. And we need to end the kind of endless legal processes that we're going through. We need to also be conscious that our constitution provides for making provision for social services to poor people and to all people in this country. Comrade David Makura, when he saw the situation, and encouraged that, and I see the same people of intelligence that tried to interrupt me the last time are trying to do so again. I appeal to them, Chairperson, not to do so. Makura proposed a new city, and I think we need to encourage it. A new city that's clean, that's green, and has an economic hub, not a soulless informal settlement. And that's why I call them unplanned settlements and not informal settlements. I think we need to move away from informal settlements, and these are, in fact, unplanned settlements that was not planned for. And the New Town movement in the UK should give us some kind of examples. After the war in the United Kingdom, the Second World War, they built new cities such as Milton Keynes, where various classes of people moved in, various economic classes of people shared services, and neighborhoods that could actually facilitate the creation of a economic hub. Let us build a new city that has got for the tailor, the cave, the candlestick maker, and the cobbler at the bottom, where they can live at the top and work at the bottom. Chairperson, we need to also make this new city a tourism hub. The location needs to be determined by the province. And if I may say so, to extend the transport system, such as the Gautrain, but not as a concession, but as belonging to the province, up to Van der Vaal Park. And also looking at what the Free State province on the other side can offer to such a city, so that we can create a continuous kind of city going forward. We can use the water as a tourism attraction. Let us, as a collective, lobby, a collective from the Gauteng delegation here, lobby the Gauteng legislature, national legislature, and the national ministry, and the Free State province to look at what the possibilities are that we can go forward. We need to consult and involve all the stakeholders, those in the unplanned settlements, those in the surrounding communities, the business community, and importantly, the worker community. Now, in engaging with some of the worker communities around what we can do, they said, let's us encourage the Premier to go ahead with this new city that is across provincial, but also let us make sure that this one is a public service, that this one is driven by this public service commission, and that this one is not going out to go to tender. Let us get people to work for the state. It was an innovative way for them to say these things, but I think it's important that we actually do that. We can all be experts at finding faults. However, let us collectively become solution finders now. And I appeal to all in the Gauteng delegation, and I appeal to all within this council. Let us find solutions to our problems. We can throw darts at each other. I mean, there is now the possibility that they talk about their 2024 of a coalition government. A coalition government that has got new liberals in it. A coalition government that wants to throw every African out of Africa, never mind out of South Africa. A coalition government that in fact wants to go ahead and is in so right wing that it can't do anything else. A coalition government that's a pincer movement now between the right wing liberals and the left wing ENF coming together. Their only purpose, they have no agenda. Their only agenda is to remove the ANC. Now, that I think is not a principled position. It's not a position that is looking forward. And my appeal is to all, let us look forward, let us become the finders of solutions and not the finders of faults only. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dangor. We continue with the debate and we call on Honorable Zandamela to continue with the debate.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy. Thank you, Deputy Chair. I will request that I leave my video off because we just got load shedding here. I might encounter problems in terms of the connection. Deputy Chairperson. Deputy Chair.
May continue.
Okay. Deputy Chair, the state capacity has been an ongoing challenge since the advent of democracy across all provinces in South Africa. This is concerning to note as a major social economical changes are only possible when the state is capable and has the capacity to implement policy. In instances where there is a lack of direction in terms of economic development. As the EFF, we therefore stand here today to advance the struggle for the development and building of state capacity across all provinces as enriched in the 7 cardinal pillars of the EFF. As it is evident from the Provincial Week report that ours is a country which is a dire need to resources, capabilities, which will enable the state to achieve its strategic goals. Ours is a country which lacks quality institutions and policies. We lack political framework which allows for change. Our challenges in provincial and local government are longstanding, as there exists lack of capacity within the public sector in implementing public policies, which is why we continue to see no results in improving the performance of the state in providing economic change. Deputy Chair, the South African state in its current form does not drive the economy or deliver services because it has no capacity. Our unemployment rate is shocking, which in its own signifies a crisis. In the past year, we have witnessed political unrest and looting of stores in KwaZulu-Natal, which signal a failure of the state to deliver economic outcomes. Our people in KZN live in fear as the province is the crime capital of this country, especially in categories such as gender-based violence, rape, and murder. There, Deputy Chair, currently exists about 2,700 informal settlements in South Africa, most of which are located on unstable land. Our people are without land across all provinces. We have noted the demand for land and for reform on housing delivery, more so after the flood disaster in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. The state must provide better services to all its people. It must build and maintain infrastructure and build an inspired, skilled and well-compensated workforce. Government needs to go big on their interventions, as we have seen that time and time again that the invisible hand of the market has failed to generate growth and innovation. There is a need to bring the state back in building our country and creating employment opportunities rather than relying entirely on the market. The state must deliver houses, build roads, schools, hospitals, deliver water and ensure that taxes are spent efficiently. The state must develop policies which will create an environment where our people no longer live in fear. We need to urgently address the issue of capacity of our police stations in KwaZulu-Natal. We need to refurbish old and worn-out police stations, establish gender-based violence desks, and clear all backlogs of firearms license application in Manguzi, in Nanda, Montclair, Bele, police stations. We need a capable state which will clear the housing backlog, which affects millions of South Africans across all provinces, particularly those living with disabilities, military veterans, the elderly, child-headed households. Deputy Chairperson, and over 2 million housing backlog in Gauteng province alone is a cause of a huge concern. We should, by all accounts, strive for a state which will stand as a sharper of policies. For a state needs to be bold and address societal issues, set concrete targets, invest in research and other innovation capabilities in order to benefit those living on the margins of the economy. However, the above reforms are difficult to achieve as in South Africa, as there exist a number of challenges which undermine state capacity. The greatest challenge has to do with leadership. Our country lacks ethical leadership under leadership of this ruling party. We need leadership which has conviction and agency to tackle policy legislative challenges which stand in the way of change. For the state has to be well positioned in leading institutional failures at the municipal level, in service delivery at provincial level and national level, which have undermined the ability of the state to deliver on its developmental mandate. As where there is corruption, there is also diverting of resources from the poor, those who need it the most, to projects that are supported by the ruling party. There need to be an effective utilization of the state capacity, especially in terms of state-owned enterprises. South Africa has about 700 SOEs. Most significant of these are not more than 20. The failure of the state has led to the arguing of their privatization, which is flawed idea, as the private sector has no obligation to develop South Africa, but is motivated to bleed us dry of our resources. Our key institutions such as Eskom, DINEL, SAA, all face crisis due to mismanagement and poor government, lack of maintenance of its infrastructure. As the EFF, we have long proposed that provincial and local government and all state-owned companies must abolish tenders and insource workers on a full-time basis, as we shall continue to advocate for such. Deputy Chairperson, we need strong institutions geared towards government plans rather than inventing new ones. Policies are poorly implemented. We need growth-enhancing policies that promote greater participation of SMMEs in the economy. Thank you, Deputy Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Zander Mela. We will now call on the Honorable T.S.C. Dodovo to continue with the debate. Dodovo.
Deputy Chairperson of the
Recording NCOP, stopped. Honorable Recording in progress.
Chief Whip of the NCOP, Honorable Mohai, permanent and special delegates. Let me start by pointing out that the vision of a capable, ethical, and developmental state is articulated in our National Development Plan. This is described as an active state that has the capacity to provide direction to both market-based and non-market-based stakeholders and to mobilize them towards a developmental agenda to resolve the triple challenges of poverty, unemployment, and inequalities. The developmental state is firmly rooted in the realities of a mixed economy, where the state, on the one hand, provides high-quality services to all citizens of this country,
while on the other hand, it provides a regulatory framework that protects against excesses of the markets, encourages investment in productive sectors, and fosters inclusive economic growth. The program of the ANC government, therefore, Honorable Chair, in the medium term is aimed at making strides to achieve the development of state by 2030 as encapsulated in our national development plan. While we have made significant strides in the transformation of our society from the ruins of colonial apartheid towards a non-racial, non-sexist, and a democratic and just society, we also recognize that the task of building capabilities and a developmental state has been the most daunting and at the local sphere of government. Local government transformation, therefore, remains complex, difficult, and protracted to realize. We have not yet achieved the vision we set in the 1998 White Paper on Local Government, where we expressed in no uncertain terms that the constitutional mandate of local government included creating and sustaining integrated, humane, equitable, and viable cities and towns within the framework of cooperative governance. The White Paper called for the fundamental transformation and redesign of local government so that it was adequately equipped to fulfill its developmental mandate within the paradigm of democratic and inclusive growth and development. It also alluded to the legislative and institutional frameworks needed to give effect to our vision of a developmental local government. The main task, therefore, Honorable Chair, is to bring new capabilities, is to bring in new attitudes, but equally is to bring new approaches which will strengthen relations between the municipal councils, administrators, the management, and the workforce, as well as to strengthen relations with service users and all other relevant stakeholders at the local sphere of government. Honorable Deputy Chairperson, the State of Local Government report that was released in July 2021 highlighted some of the key challenges confronting our municipalities. This includes the political administrative interface, poor governance, financial mismanagement, and poor service delivery. This report revealed that 64 municipalities were in a dysfunctional state, suffering from one or multiple of these challenges. Out of the 30 municipalities which were placed under Section 139 intervention in terms of the Constitution, it demonstrated that the challenges must be accomplished as a matter of urgency. Subsequently, Honorable Deputy Chair, we have seen Section 139.7 intervention in Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality, Inok Mugijima Local Municipality, as well as Nikwa Local Municipality. This was unprecedented intervention by Cabinet because of the nature and the type of challenges that are confronting these three municipalities. The Auditor General also released the 2020-2021 MFA report, which reflects on the audit outcomes of municipalities over the five-year term of previous local government administrations. And an observation is made that the previous term of local government, namely 2016 until 2021, left municipalities in a worse financial position than when they took office at the time.
The AG further says that his report presents a not-to-be-missed opportunity for the new administration to address the already reported audit findings. The issues of the lack of human resource identified in the 2019-2020 report titled, I quote, not enough and yet not the right hands at the team, and those of political and administrative leadership in which there was a call to address the challenges in respect of ensuring that there is ethical and accountable leadership that must drive change at municipal level. It is encouraging to see that there is a light. It is encouraging that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, with a slight increase in the number of clean audits, where 27 municipalities were able to maintain their clean audit status, 14 achieved a clean audit for the first time, and 6 unfortunately lost their clean audit status. However, clean audit outcomes, Honorable Deputy Chairperson, continues to represent less than a fifth of local government budget, which is a major concern that must be given the necessary attention. We are also encouraged by the fact that the Auditor General is utilizing the new powers added in the Public Audit Act of 2019 by issuing material irregularities to eliminate financial risks and recover potential losses. Since the addition of the new powers in the Public Audit Act of 2019, we have seen a significant decline in irregular and fruitless expenditure. Since the 2020 NCOP Provincial Week that we held in March, the ANC, we have used political oversight to encourage municipalities to be responsive to audit opinion. And one of the issues we have taken up with the municipalities is the reliance on consultants for audit purposes. We have called for the employment of capable human resources in finance and audit departments. This, in our respective view, will avoid wasteful expenditure resources, and resources can be redirected to service delivery. We will be intensifying our efforts in the Free State and the Northwest provinces, which have the worst performing municipalities across the country. Coming to the Northwest, Honorable Deputy Chairperson, we noted the fact that this province was placed under Section 100, where certain departments where interventions were made in certain departments. This was quite important because of the deteriorating situation that was obtained in those municipalities, and the provinces. There was a crisis in respect of human resource management, in respect of the financial expenditure patterns of the departments. There was a crisis in terms of the schools, where the schools were disrupted. The health facilities were also in chaotic situation. And all of this perpetuated the crisis that is founded at municipal level. We were there ourselves. We were there, and we can report proudly that we see what I call a modicum of encouraging possibilities. We see a convergence in terms of the work led by Premier Bushimahape, who has taken the bull by its horn. Premier Bushimahape is doing whatever that he can to galvanize and rejuvenate the province. And we need to really encourage, support his efforts to ensure that not only that he uproots corruption and all its manifestations, but he works very hard to ensure that there is stability, there is progress, and there is tranquility, if I may put it that way, in the Northwest province. This is quite important because this is a province that was facing a number of problems, and in our respective view, we think that they are going to be addressed, given the vigor, the energy, the zest, and the zeal that the current leadership of the province is having. And that, from our point of view, is encouraged, must be taken forward
to the majestic height of glory and success. Honorable Deputy Chairperson, the provision of services by the developmental scope, in addition to servicing the needs of the citizens, is also an investment in the economy of those particular cities in terms of what they need to do to address the challenges that are facing municipalities, but also to ensure that we encourage private sector investment that must follow to ensure that we improve the social and economic infrastructure where it is needed, especially making sure that the necessary investments are made in building of schools, of hospitals, and other infrastructure developments, which in a way would have positive spin-offs from an economic point of view and from a social point of view, both in the medium term as well as in the long term. And as the ANC, we are saying, we are concerned at the same time, Honorable Chair, by some of the problems that seem to be inherent in some of the municipalities, especially in municipalities such as Malutia Pofu, the Chobota in the Northwest, Twai, where people still walk long distances to access drinking clean water, and sometimes they go for days without having water at all flowing from their taps. And we say that this situation is unacceptable 28 years after the dawn of our democratic dispensation. We must do everything within our power to address that, and we are quite happy that this is a matter that the leadership of the Northwest Province under Premier Mushimape is attending to. We will be looking and watching the developments as they unfold, and where there are problems and challenges, we will expect that interventions must be made to ameliorate the situation. I'm saying this, Honorable Chair, because the challenges of water and sanitation, in our view, can best be addressed through the district development model, which has been successfully piloted in 3 municipalities. We all know those municipalities by now. That is Owertambo, that is Tekwini, as well as the Water Board or Waterbed District Municipality. And in our view, this must be attended to as a matter of urgency. But we are also saying that there are issues that must be attended to, especially in the Etekwini Metropolitan Municipality, given the fact that this municipality was ravaged by the flood disasters that the country experienced in April this year. This municipality must be helped so that the people of that particular area get the necessary opportunities taking this particular process forward. But we are also saying that not all is lost, because we see some progress in respect of the Tequini municipality. For example, the yielding of tangible benefits that we see in respect of the catalytic project, such as the Rivertown Precinct Upgrade, the Duba Trade Port, and the Kato Ridge Dry Port. The building of the dry port requires through SANRAL to construct a new interchange on N3. And in our view, if this is done properly, it will allow for the dry port to be built, but it will also unlock substantial industrial land potentials that will support the industrialization objectives of the national, in terms of the National Economic Reconstruction and Development Plan. We can listen to what the opposition is saying. They always lament, they always waffle and prevaricate in our view. They do not provide a substantive solution to the many of the problems that are facing our country. And my respective view, Honorable Chair, is that we must stand up and rise from where we are and bring solutions and not enjoy just criticizing as if we are looking for votes. It's not time for votes. It's the time to rebuild and reconstruct our country. And we must do so in a way that will fundamentally change the lives of our people. On that particular way, we think that the state capacity must be strengthened in order to achieve the developmental objectives of our society, Honorable Deputy Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dadovo. We will continue with the debate. And we will now call on Honorable Shlomuka from KwaZulu-Natal to continue with the debate.
Albongwe babazi. Albongwe.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not sure if you can see me.
We can't.
No.
Can't see you. And there is something wrong with your screen or something. But you can try to address it. Yeah, there you are. You may continue.
Is it now clear?
You are visible and audible, so you can continue.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Greetings to your Deputy Chair, all honorable members of this august House, MECs present, and fellow South Africans. Chair, it is really a great honor to address this august House as we debate the report of the Provincial Week, which was held on the 29th March to the 1st of April 2022, under the theme, open quote, assessing the state capacity to respond to the needs of the community, and close quote. Chairperson, it is important that in the visit, the members of this House visited Amsterdam's delivery points across the country in order to assess the state and the functionality of those service points. It is important that all members, the freedom to take you back that the Freedom Charter, which was adopted at the Real Congress of the People at Cape Town on the 26th of June 1955, declared that our country will never be prosperous or free until our people live in a brotherhood and enjoying equal rights and opportunities. So it is important that we draw our lesson from the meeting that took place in 1995. Because we must learn from the past. And today we are gathering to debate the important issue that emanates from this quote that I already indicated, which called for South Africans to enjoy equal rights and opportunities. The issue of access to basic services is one that all governments across the world agree that it is a human rights issue, not only in South Africa, but across the world. On the 28th of July 2010, though the resolution of 64 of 292, the United Nations General Assembly explicitly recognized human right to water and sanitation and acknowledged that the clean drinking water and sanitation are essential to the realization of all human rights, and the resolution called upon the states and international organizations to provide financial resources which will help capacity building and technology transfer to help countries, in particular developing countries, to provide safe, clean, accessible, and affordable drinking water and sanitation for all. It is important that I take the meeting that there is a duty for all spheres of government in this country to ensure that water and sanitation services are provided in a manner in which efficient and equitable and sustainable. All spheres of government must strive to provide water supply and sanitizing services sufficient for sustained and sustainable economic activity. On the Chapter 13 of the National Development Plan calls for a building a capable state, a thematic topic toward the building of a capital state explicitly identified in the chapter 13, as already indicated. There are five headline issues that I'm going to outline in this debate, Chair. One of it is the need to stabilize the political and administrative interface, making the public service and local government career of choice, develop a technical and specialized professional skills, and improve relations between the three spheres of government. And the last one is clarity, the objective and mandate of state-owned enterprise. Having said that, Jefferson, on the above issues are critical if we were able to build a state that is capable of responding to the needs of our people, because we are the government of our people. It is our endeavors to respond to the needs of our communities we have to be aware of the reality of climate. I think the Honorable Dodo of the previous speaker spoke about the challenges that have happened in KwaZulu-Natal, about the disaster, the heavy rain that we have received, which destroying serious infrastructure in KwaZulu-Natal, in particular at Thekwini Metro, then make a number of people have been suffering, and some of water infrastructure has been destroyed, which also compromised that means those people who are around those towns or a metro are now not, they were not receiving clean water from running pipe, which is important that we must also deal with the issue of climate change. As a province, in the month of April and May, as already indicated that the previous speaker has already alluded on, we witnessed serious floods which killed over 400 people and disrupted the supply of critical services such as water and sanitation, road and electricity. These floods are a reminder of the reality of climate and the impact on on the developing countries. According to the report by the United Nations, climate change is likely to increase in areas South Africa. While developing countries have contributed to the least to the problem, they bear a brunt of impact of the climate change, which threatens to jeopardize many of the developmental gains that have already been achieved. There's already indicated there are a number of gains that in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, we've built number of houses, built sanitation for our people, and ensure that our people are receiving water and throw running pipe water. But as a short-term intervention, while we are still busy restoring water and trying to ensure that we give our people running water from the pipes, or give them short-term water, because we can't allow our people to not receive water. They are short-term and medium and also a long-term plan that we have. Hence, we developed a provincial water master plan, which also talked to sanitation. We are now in the implementation of that plan, which guides us how to assist the municipality in terms of putting their grant on the areas or what that don't have water through the assessment or the research that was done by the specialists in developing the provincial water master plan. Honorable members, the provincial week revealed that there were key themes emerging in the province, and those as follows are water and sanitation, electricity, infrastructure, local economic development, and small-scale farmers, and safety and security. All these themes require capable state in order to unlock their potential, while also being aware of the serious challenges that we are faced with, especially about the climate change. In the province of KwaZulu-Natal, the focus of the visit by the NCOP was on the capacity to fight against crime, including the state of police station in the township and rural areas and their resources, because Wamashu in particular is the second township that have a high rate of crime in terms of the report that was released by the Minister of Police. And during this visit, the delegation raised the concern about the centralization of supply,
as you dropped
out, of supply chain management processes in the staff has impact negatively on the province. Chair, I want to conclude by saying the MPP proposed that raising the living standard to the minimized required level will involve various mechanisms to ensure that we assist our people, and we are going to ensure that we work with all 54 municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal to assist them to ensure that they fast-track providing basis to our people, which will include water and sanitation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable.
MEC. We will continue with the debate, and we now call on Honorable Jibrain to continue with the debate.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Well, Deputy Chair, firstly, I must express my disappointment with the fact that this report is being considered in this House today, while a number of provinces still hasn't considered their final reports beforehand. I was hopeful that the Provincial Week and its purpose is to truly bring government to the people and include everyone from the public to local municipalities, stakeholders, and we as permanent delegates together to participate and identify the real issues on ground level. But the way that this report is being bulldozed through the steps clearly highlights the lack of political will to bring about the changes that our citizens so desperately need. In every province, we visited communities on ground level, communities that place their hopes and trust in us to better their circumstances, and surely they deserve a real effort from this House and not the manner in which this report is being handled. Deputy Chair, while visiting the water and sanitation treatment works in the Free State, I was shocked that we didn't come across a single functional wastewater treatment plant. Every site we visited was exactly the same story. A lack of infrastructure, existing infrastructure not being maintained, vandalism and security issues, etc., etc. But even more shocking was the lack of management and will by the municipalities. And I'm going to use the Mangaung Metro as a prime example of this. The management of the Mangaung Metro was so arrogant that they didn't even bother to show up at the site visits to accommodate our delegation and to explain the situation so that solutions could be discussed. They were rather cowering in their offices at the expense of the citizens that are being overcharged for these services. And this is a municipality that has been under administration since 2019 and that is currently under national administration. Honorable Chair, in the Kopanong municipality, there were cases where the officials didn't even know how to access the wastewater treatment works, never mind maintaining it. And this is a municipality that in most areas has been without water since February due to the debt of more than 500 million rand to Bloemwater, but at the same time not utilizing their boreholes to bring some relief to their communities. Chair, the example of failures in almost every municipality across the country are endless. And in most cases, this is not due to a lack of funding. It is due to a lack of management and political will by municipal officials. Officials that are being paid enormously high salaries while underperforming with no consequence management. And that is the real issue that this report is supposed to be addressing. It is the responsibility of this House to not only bring the government to the people, but to ensure that people have access to a functional and honest local government where officials are doing the jobs they are being paid to do and being reprimanded if they don't. And that is supposed to be the purpose of the Provincial Week and this report. By just pushing this report through without going through all the necessary channels and inputs is an insult to our communities. And this House should be hanging its head in shame, to say the least. And we can't keep blaming the rich cousin, as the Honorable Nyambi has put it, when the poor cousin is misusing the funds given to him to fix his bicycle. The poor cousin will also have to start to admit his failures and take responsibility. Jay, the Freedom Front Plus will not support this report. Thank you.
Honorable Debrain, we will now call on Honorable Sileko to continue with the debate.
Good afternoon, Honorable Deputy Chairperson. Honorable Deputy Chairperson, Honorable Members. Honorable Deputy Chairperson, before I go to my speech, I need to remind Honorable Dodovu what the AG says about Northwest. Just last week, the AG, when she talks about the Northwest, she talks about leadership instability. She talks about lack of accountability. She talks about general state of disarray and little to no service delivery. So Honorable Dodovu must stop lecturing the DA about solutions. Every time we are given a platform in this House, we give them solutions, but where as men. So I at fees for and a big leister who owns Danga Dun and the blow preferency diverskar. Deputy Chairperson, I must express my appreciation to be part of the NCOP the week-long oversight of the state capacity to respond to community needs. I welcome the subsequent report that highlights key issues emanating from the provincial visits, as well as the challenges alluded by the Honorable Birman, Mr. Ryder, and successes faced in various sectors. The report includes recommendations from the delegation, and the NCOP will monitor adherence to the timeframes by the responsible departments. Deputy Chairperson, we aimed to establish grounds to reduce poverty and inequality in accordance with the guiding principles as captured in the NDP, which I quote, "No political democracy can survive and flourish if the masses of our people remain in poverty," I unquote. Attacking poverty and deprivation must be the first priority of a democratic government, and the report reveals that poverty, inequality, unemployment, and a poor economy continues to plague our community. The provincial week revealed that key themes emerges in provinces, namely water and sanitation, electricity and infrastructure, local economic development, small-scale farmers, and safety and security. Deputy Chairperson, these matters also apply to the Western Cape. We identify the provision of housing infrastructure, measures to address the housing backlog, and the creation of integrated and sustainable human settlements as specific matters that impacts on this province. Based on the demographic realities, the various Western Cape municipalities and organs of provincial government will not be able to reduce the housing backlog. The population growth of the Western Cape is much higher than the funds available to comply with the housing need. In places such as Theewaterskloof, where I started to be a public rep, 56% of the population is indigent. This can be seen in the enormous growth of existing and relatively new informal settlements. The Western Cape challenges with housing intensified as a result of the invasion of state land and the housing needs that resulted from this. Against this need, the integrity of the housing register is compromised as people succeed in jumping the queue. Western Cape government succeeded to implement a sustainable vision for housing based on the accelerated housing opportunities through the rapid release of land and service sites. The department adopted the hybrid model that ensures that grants are transferred to municipalities in accordance with their abilities to deliver, and this will ensure that grant funding will be spent in full. The department was able to absorb unspent funding from other provinces to accelerate projects in 21-22. Other provinces who could not spend on their grants. The Western Cape spent their grants. Grants were split through the informal settlement upgrade partnership grant. The department promoted the finance-linked individual subsidy program for the first-time owners and reached an agreement with the National Housing Financing Corporation with respect to funding. The Department of Human Settlements utilized its own funds for the installation of toilets in the Western Cape to bring back its dignity, ebantwini. All metro and non-metro municipal housing demand databases are linked to ascertain the municipal needs per region. Other provincial successes include the reducing of title deed backlogs, the informal settlement support plan, support to Theewaterskloof with the Destiny Farm project, and military veterans. The municipality had to overcome substantial challenges to taste the successes of a functional housing approach. It had to deal with the lack of bulk infrastructure, procurement delays, poor contractor performances, protests, vandalism, theft, and land invasions. The department provided 275 military veterans specification houses over the last 5 years, while other provinces are still struggling to give five. The province succeeded with the upgrading of and constructing of alternative building technologies. The department promoted matters of sustainability with regard to housing projects in the province by implementing energy efficiency technologies.
As you conclude,
the NCC delegation visited several housing sites. The Conradi Better Living Model, the target market includes grant-funded housing and the open market housing, including the gap market and the total budget for the project amount of $3 billion. The new Woodlands Housing Project to upgrade the Kosovo informal settlements as a flagship development of the Department of Human Settlements Development Program and to ensure the construction of internal and bulk engineering services and the development of 134 housing opportunities for beneficiaries who qualify for assistance under the National Housing Subsidy. Encourage social housing in Belleville with the objective to implement a housing ladder model to allow people to move between different types of tenure in the same estate as their needs and lifestyle changes through a mixed income and mixed tenure residential development of 1,122 units that is comprises of 512 social housing units, 253 rental units, and 357 open market units. Adjunct Voorzitter, the NCP oversight placed its finger on the policies of provinces and offers solutions and context to challenges. It must, however, be noted that the only reason the Western Cape had such a functional provincial week when other spheres of government had prior commitments is underpinned by the strong political will that is evident within the Western Cape. It was an honor to participate in the provincial week in the Western Cape. Cape Netna may das, this blow. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Blowball. We continue with the debate. We now call an honorable Linda.
That is respectable.
Continue with the debate. Global.
You're out of order.
Stormer. Ngiyabonga sekela sihlalo wami. Oshonphekile.
Mama.
Ngibonge ukuthi uthola mama leli thuba. Lokuba yingxenye yake inkulumo mpikiswano yalolu suku lanamhlanje. Ngibingelele wonke umuntu othamele le nkulumo yanamhlanje ngokwenza ikhundla zabo ezihlukene kodwa ngokhethekile izithunywa zakwaZulu Natal ezilapha phakathi kwethu namhlanje. Hlalo ohloniphekile ngaphambi kokuthi ngingene kwinkulumo yami ngicela ukulungisa la kumhlonishwa uRider othi woza 2024. Kodwa ngafuni njalo ukuphasisa isabelo sezimali neminyango kanye kanye nako konke. Ebese kuza nomhlonishwa uDebrain asho naye ukuthi nje ayimali cha abayiphasisi. Ebese ke kuvala ngo-Honorable Zandamele. Abahlale njalo bethi ukhongolose kenzi lutho njengoba ephethe. Kodwa manje njengoba ezama ukhongolose, ziphasiseni phela imali, sikwazi ukuthi senze lezi zinto ukuthi abantu bayithole. Hayi ke, Honorable Sileku, uthi wena abantu ababe dignified, usho kahle isingisi sakho lalela ke, uba dignified kanjani abantu uma ungeze uyiphasisa i-budget yokuthi kwenzeke le nto ufunde yenzeke ebantwini. Asiyekeni ipolitiki bakwethu, abanemakithi basidinga lapha phansi.
Yekani imali.
Uzubophezele umbono wokungabandlululi ngobuzwe kananjalo ngobulili. Ukuze kwakhiwe umphakathi okwaziyo ukuthuthukisa wakhe futhi izingxenye zomphakathi ekwakheni nokuthuthukisa umnotho nokuthi umphakathi uphephe. Izinhlelo zemiphakathi zokuphepha. Siyacela izehlakalo nemikhuba efufusayo kufanele siyigweme ngayo yonke indlela nokuxazulule izinkinga zabantu abantulayo. Hlalo wami obekekile, ukungasebenzi nokungathuthukiswa kwemiphakathi sekufakwe ohlelweni lokuthuthukisa abantu futhi kufakiwe nasohlelweni lokukhulisa leyo mphakathi nokuthi ukhongolose ukhathazekile ngokudlondlobala kobugebengu obudlange obubhekiswe kubantu besifazane kanye nezingane. Nokusetshenziswa futhi kwebudedengu botshwala nemidakamizwa yiyo lento eyenza ukuthi kudlondlobale izigebengu. mphathi sihlalo wami ngesikhathi sokuhambele izifundazwe thina eKwaZulu Natal sasihlangene namalungu esishayamthetho seKwaZulu Natal siwumbhodamo senhlasenyuka kuwo wonke lama-police station njengoba sasinikeziwe ukuthi kufanele ukuthi sizozibhekela thina noma isamthatha sathi sisitshelile ngemibiko kodwa sathi thina njengo-NCOP asande sobheka ngempela ngale nto yokuthi kwenzekeni kube seqhulwini ngempela ubugebengu okwenza kusobala ukuthi imiphakathi ihlaliswe lubhojozi yizigilamkhuba. Hlalo ngaphambili mhla zintathu kuJuni, umphathiso wamaphoyisa wayikhipha isibalo so isibalo sika-1921 lonyaka lwezimali wasethi naso nakumnyaka wezimali zika-2022 kumasingane kuya kumbasa lokhu waveza ukuthi isibalo sonyuke ngamaphesente angamashumi amabili namabili ngokuthi okungaphezulu kwezinkulungwane namakhulu amabili ayisikhombisa. Abantu uma kuqhathaniswa nekwata eledlule izifundazwe sakwaZulu Natal, uGauteng kanye nentshonalanga Kapa yizone ezaba nezibalo ezingaphezulu zamacala okumane ubulalwana kuwona. KwaZulu Natal ezindaweni ezifana njengomlazi, iNanda nasePrinsesly yizona ezinzima kakhulu namacala aphezulu abalelwa emakhulwini amashumi ayisikhombisa nanhlanu kanye nayishumi ayisikhombisa ngokulandelela futhi kuyathusa ukwenyuka kwamacala ngokuthunjwa kwezingane nabesifazane. Izibalo zobugebengu zikhombise ukuthi iKwaZulu Natal yona ehamba phambili ngezibalo ezizinkulungwane namakhulu ayisikhombisa namashumi amabili namabili okudlwengula. Angu-726 kwalezigameko zenzeke endaweni zabahlali, zenzeka naziphakathi ezikolweni. Lokhu kwenza kubonakale ngokusobala ukuthi abantu besimame abaphephile kangakanani nokuthi isidingo esikhulu sokuthatha izinyathelo ngalo ukunqanda lokhu nokuthi izidingo sikhulu kakhulu ukuthi kuqiniswe ezokuphepha kulezo ndawo ukuze kuvikelwe abantu besifazane nezingane nokuthi isabelomali asibe sikhulu KwaZulu Natal bakwethu njengoba nazi ukuthi kudlangile futhi niyazi ukuthi kunamabhoda akhona ama-police station aseduze wakhona aba nenkinga kakhulu ukuthi akwazi ukuthi abambe izigebengu. Ngesikhathi sokuvakashela isifundazwe sathola futhi ukuthi ezinye izikhungo zamaphoyisa azikho sesimeni sokukwazi ukuphakama nezinkinga zemiphakathi namasebenza kuyo nokuthi izinsiza zokusebenza azanele. Njengasemanguzi police station la saqala khona sathola ukuthi abasebenzi abenele, izimoto azenele, amasela ayiqaluzela nje ayaphuma ayangena. Akwenze ukuba ne-police station yakhona eyakhiwa ngesikhathi sobandlululo ikude emphakathini. Kwaze kwathi lo uhulumeni okhoyo wenza izinzame yokuthi kubekho ama-satellite police stations azokwazi ukuthi abantu bakwazi ukuthi basizakale. Ngakho yikho siqinisa ukuthi ulabuyo mali azibe khona ngoba esinye isikhalo kube yizimoto zamaphoyisa. Ulijaha kanjani isele elihamba ngegrupa ngokusho isithetho sanamhlanje ezogijima wena phoyisa umjaha ngeveni awukwazi ukwazi ukuthi umbambe leso sigebengu leso ngakho siyacela ukuthi bakwazi ukuthi banikezwe imoto ezifanele zokujaha lezigila mkhuba ezintshontshe imoto zizeqise ngilokhu zani iborder sihlalo ngaphambili enye into esathola ukuthi zikhona izinhlaka zona zokuthi sisebenzisane namaphoyisa ama-CPFs phecelezi kodwa inkinga ukuthi ayikho imali eyenele ezokwazi ukuthi nabo ibagqugquzele ukuba bakwazi ukuthi babe yingxenye yokuthi balwise nobugebengu obulapho mhlonishwa othandekayo wendlu ukuzenza ukwazi ukukhuluma kuzwakale ngalokhu ukubambisana nemiphakathi yethu kubaluleke kakhulu kubaluleke kangangokuthi akuqine umbuso wethu yebo khona uzamile ukuqina ngokuthi sikwazi ukuthi senze ama satellite stations ukuthi abe bantwini hlalo wami ngizobalula nje ngaphishane eminye ama police stations ngendlela akhiwe ngayo ngalesi sikhathi sobandlululo i police station esembazwane eanda umkhanya kude yakhiwa endaweni zabamhlophe ama farmers abantu abamnyama bengakwazi ukufikelela lapho uthola ukuthi umoya kuleyo police station ugibela kathathu noma kayi-4 umphakathi uma uhamba yobika enye police station yase-Newden engase-Greytown nayo ngokunjalo yakhelwa nje khona kubantu abamhlophe ukuze bakwazi ukuthi basivivinye kahle abantu bakithi kodwa bangakwazi ukuthi bafinyelele siphinde sibe ne-Help Maker police station between Pomeroy and Dandi nayo lo police station yenzelwa abamhlophe kuphela kodwa thina sikwazi ukuthi sifinyelele abantu bethu abamnyama kuyona sibe nalangilahle police station between iDandi neLady Smith nayo ngokunjalo yayenzelwe amafama abantu abamhlophe umuntu omnyama akakwazi ukufikelela lapho ngoba fonde agibele kaninginingi siphinde futhi sibe neKingsley police station near Blood River hayi ke yona ke ingayizivele uyabona nje ukuthi nje umuntu omnyama lapha yani ufonde agibele ekuseni ngo-3 a.m. ukuze akwazi ayofika lapho mhlambe emva kwamadina siphinde sibe ne-Charlestown police station near Normandin e-Newcastle nayo ngokunjalo yayakhele wona abamhlophe lapho abantu abamnyama bakwazi ukufunyelela ebese kubo nendumo police station nayo under i-Josini municipality okubona ukuthi nayo yayakhelwe bona abamhlophe ukuthi bona babe ne-access bagadeke kodwa abantu abamnyama bangabibikho okumnandi nokuhle kulo hulumeni kakhongolose wakwazi ukuthi uma esethatha umbuso enze ama-satellite stations la abantu bakithi bezokwazi ukuthi baye khona ukuze kwazi phela basho izinto zabo abaxayeke ngazo lokhu kufaka phakathi nemisebenzi yezemvelo nezolimo yikona okunye esikutholile lapho besivisitha khona ukuthi kumele abantu abakithi ukuze bakwazi ukuthi bazilimele nawo somabhizinisi abaphufusayo amaphemithi ashesha bekhona ukuze bakwazi phela ukuthi bayidayisele izinto zabo ukuze njalo behle ubugebengu ngoba bazokwazi ukuthi babe nento abayenzayo Chairperson sihlalo wami sekela sihlalo sancoma ke lathi ikomiti sihlangene neshayamthetho sakwaZulu Natal ensophi ukuthi ubugebengu budlondlobele kakhulu ikakhulukazi kubantu besifazane nezingane yilo nto esayiqaphelayo kakhulu esibona ukuthi kofanele ukuthi ngempela kwandiswe abasebenza amaphoyisa kwandiswe nezimoto zamaphoyisa kulungiswe nethi ne infrastructure yakhona ukuze kwenzeke phela ukuthi abantu bakwazi ukuthi benze kwamanye amapolice kwakunzima nokuthi sithole indlu yangasese ngoba wawubona ukuthi nje seloko yakhiwa azikho imali zokuthi zenzeke zonke lezi zinto nokuthi futhi esakubhekayo ukuthi ema police stations ambalwa awanayo kahlehle i-gender based violence desk lapho ke besinxusa ke ukuthi ke sengathi onke angaba njalo abe nayo lelo khuzana i-police station esenenkinga yokunqongophala kwezizila zinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzinzin zimoto uma ngaba zephukile. Kungathi makuphume isondo, kuthathe iminyaka ngeminyaka emibili kusafunwa lelisondo. Kepha kufanele ukuthi lezimoto zisebenze emphakathini. Besicela ukuthi ingabi yi-central yonke lento eyenzeka. Siyazi ukuthi kunezikole la izingane zifundela khona amakhono ezandla. Bakwazi ukuthi laba abafundela ukukhanda izimoto kulezo ndawo ama-police station ekuzona zikhandwe lapho kuleyo ndawo ukuze sheshe kwenzeke. Ngoba uthola ukuthi ngempela ibhawothi nje lilodwa kuzothatha u-3 weeks wonke ukuthi lihambe ukuthi lifake, ngoba kufanele kudlule iminyango eminingi. Kanti ukuba besizokwazi ukuthi sigqugquzele imiphakathi yethu ibe nazo lezinhlaka zokuthi kwazi ukuthi siqeqeshe iy'ngane zethu, siqeqeshe futhi kananjalo nosomabhizinisi abancane, omekhenikhi, bakwazi ukuthi bayilungise lezo zinto. Kepha ngiyazi ukuthi konke lokho vele vele sekusendleleni yokuthi kwenzeke, ngoba isikhalo sizwakele, sakwazi ukuthi saya ebantwini, uhulumeni wethu wasilandele. Lokhu uKhongolose akwenzayo akenzi ngoba eziqaja, eziqhayisa. Koko wenzela bonke abantu. Siyacela kubo bonke abantu esinabo, kubo bonke osopolitiki esinabo, ngesipolitiki phansi bakwethu. Abantu bakithi bayasidinga, sikwazi ukuthi sibambisane, siphasise nale budget engafuna ukuyiphasisa. Ngiyabonga sekela sihlalo wendlu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bibi. And we will call on Honorable Hadebe to continue with the debate. Honorable Hadebe. Honorable Hadebe. Is the Honorable Hadebe not present? If not, we will continue.
Honorable Jefferson.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You may continue.
Honorable Jefferson, I was not expecting. Nonetheless, I will take the opportunity. Honorable Jefferson, we are called to assess the state capacity in order to fulfill our mandate to respond to the needs of our communities. In order to effectively achieve this, we must take stock of the position that we are in and reaffirm our commitments to the Constitution, which duty bounds us to the democratic citizenry. Under Section 41 of our democratic constitution, we are required to ensure that all spheres of government must secure the well-being of the people of the Republic, provide effective, transparent, accountable, and coherent government for the Republic as a whole. The Constitution in this regard is quite clear on the mandate of government and does not lend any of us the opportunity for ignorance. The scripts require that we are receptive to the people of the country whilst being held to a high standard of government that is deserving of our people. Honorable Chairperson, once we have clear direction of our mandate, our inability to grow rather than regress our economy, reduce the public dissatisfaction through displays of public protest to deliver basic services, recognize our shortcomings and work together is our greatest weakness. Yet, when we read the reports of the Zondo Commission of Inquiry we find ourselves in great contradiction of the principles. We as Parliament have a responsibility through our constitutional obligations as above to indeed take actions against those who have deviated from our constitutional commitments. The Zondo report showed us that certain individuals of our country, in fact, despise our constitutional commitments, and they do not care for the devastation left for the poorest people of our country. Chairperson, our people are left to their own devices, and out of sheer frustration, we are experiencing severe sins of dissatisfaction. I refer to the sins of burning in Soweto this morning, as people are totally frustrated with the inability to receive services and electricity. The July looting in KZN, where the poor could not manage under severe lockdown restrictions, while certain ministers were pocketing proceeds intended to reduce the burden on the poor. The high petrol prices, which exceed the minimum wage of the labor class, and the flooding in KZN, which has seen an incredibly slow and unsympathetic response by government. But that's just what is currently circulating in the public domain. What about the report of the NCOP in assessing the capacity to fight crime in KZN? It is saddening to see that government's priority of providing safer environments is in a state of despair. Our police stations are in a desperate need of repair and maintenance. Police stations need to be vehicles that are fully capable of holding criminals, but also safe spaces that are warm and inviting to traumatize victims, especially of gender-based violence. Colleagues, it is never my intention to criticize unconstructively. What has been said indicated that we need key emphasis on the consistency of our public institutions in order to build the steps towards a government that can meet the expectations of our communities. They deserve nothing less. I thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hadebe. We will now call on the Honorable Motswana from Northwest to continue with the debate. Honorable Motswana. Honorable Motswana. Honorable Motswana is not responding. We will then call on Honorable Aukam to continue with the debate. Honorable Aukam.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, members of this House, you are a bit quick on me. Let me just quickly get to my speech, because I did not know that I had to speak now. Honorable Chairperson.
I'm sorry, Honorable Aukam.
No problem.
The one that was supposed to speak before you didn't respond.
Honorable Chairperson. I can continue. Honorable Chairperson, I want to start off by thanking my colleague, Honorable Delmaine Christians, as well as the members of the ANC, which include yourself, Honorable Bartlett, and Honorable Moy Mung, who attended the provincial week, for the good and collegial cooperation that we experienced during this provincial week that we had in the Northern Cape. It was, however, troublesome, Honorable Deputy Chairperson, that various mayors and speakers of some of the municipalities did not attend our meetings. As the Honorable Ryder said, this might have been due to the hasty and late arrangements that were made for this provincial week. It is, however, also important to mention that in several instances where they did not attend our meetings in the Northern Cape, we had to wait for hours for them to arrive. Their lack of respect for this House's delegation is testimony to the seriousness in which they approach the issues of their municipalities. In one instance, a mayor, who confirmed that he will attend our meeting, cancelled on short notice due to him having to entertain the Deputy Minister of Correctional Services. Now, with all due respect, Honorable Deputy Chairperson, I think it is far more important for a mayor to attend our meeting where issues of his municipality is being discussed than for him to entertain the Deputy Minister of Correctional Services, a portfolio that has got absolutely nothing to do with his municipality. Honorable Deputy Chairperson, As you drive on one of the Northern Cape's main arterials between Kimberley, Koopmansfontein and Danielskuil, wooden crosses bear testament to just how many lives have been lost on this road. This is no ordinary road. The R31 has become a monument of death. This issue was again raised by my colleague, Honorable Dalmain Christians, during the provincial week. It was reported to us that the R31 between Kimberley and Barkley West, which is now flooded by sewage from the Goga sewer plant, was repaired in 2014-2015 to the tune of 12 million rands, and again in 2020 and 2021 for a whopping 25 million rands. This road, however, continues to erode due to the faulty Goga pump. Residents in Kimberley are often without water due to repairs, and an oversight with the provincial legislature to this road was also cancelled last week. Government has covered up this disaster for 18 years, and it is therefore required of this House to insist on immediate actions by government to implement a permanent solution to this problem. Honourable Deputy Chairperson, the farming community in the Northern Cape is the second largest employment sector in the province. We therefore were glad to have unanimously agreed to the following with regards to the locust plague, as well as the drought and fires that was experienced in the Northern Cape. And I quote from the report. Members noted that if we do not assist farmers now, it will affect the crops. If we see it as a short-term problem, it will become a bigger issue in the future. Close quote. Honourable Deputy Chairperson, the report goes further and states the following, and again I quote, on drought and locusts, a motion should be put through the NCOP to declare those areas as disaster areas. Upon declaration as a disaster area, the province will receive the necessary assistance. Close quote. Honourable Chairperson, it is now of utmost importance for the farmers in our province that these recommendations will not remain lip service, but that this House will act on it. It was worrying to have heard that Orion Minerals at O'Keep is struggling to obtain a mining license. This mine will create 1,500 job opportunities over a period of 20 years, and they have already invested millions into their mine and the community. Again, it is good to note that the report unanimously emphasized that obtaining a mining license should not be an obstacle to this project, and that a solution should be sought. Vedanta Mine at Aggeneys expressed their concerns that their application for rezoning to build 4,000 houses on their property have been stalled by red tape. Again, it is noteworthy that our delegation unanimously agreed that the NCOP must consider and discuss how to assist in terms of cutting the red tape for the provision of these 4,000 houses. Honourable Chairperson, it's good if we can work together. Honourable Chairperson, I want to get to Honourable Nyambi. Honourable Nyambi, the Western Cape received the same bicycle that you spoke of. The difference is that unlike the ANC, the DA government in the Western Cape maintained its bicycle, and therefore the bicycle in the Western Cape is still working perfectly, unlike the bicycles in other provinces that have not been maintained. Honourable BC from the Eastern Cape, the only way in which the ANC will ever be high again is if they smoke some of the cannabis that you spoke about, because the ANC will never be high in polling or on election day ever again. Honourable Dangle, you say that we must be the finder of solutions. The solution is for this incompetent ANC government to be voted out of power and to be replaced by a DA government. We yes, like people with the people of South Africa, the people at heart will be in charge. Honourable Chairperson, the success of this provincial week will be determined on the willingness of this House to implement the recommendations that was agreed upon. If this is not done, the provincial week would have been just another tick box exercise and an exercise of window dressing, as we have witnessed so many times in the past. I hope that this will not be the case this time around. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Alkam. Can I now again call on Honourable Motswana? He is on the platform. Is he going to participate in the debate, yes or no? Honorable Motswana? It doesn't seem like that. If Honorable Motswana is not available, we will now go to the Chief Whip, Honorable S.J. Mohai, to conclude.
Thank you, Deputy Chairperson, and also greetings to the Chair of the Council, the House Chairs, Honorable Nyambe and Mengwenya, Honorable Members of the House, Distinguished Special Delegates, MEC Dukwana and MEC Fromuka. Thank you very much for also sharing with us your thoughts and also making meaningful contribution in these important debates as MECs are in the front line of implementation of the policies and also review in terms of the extent in which we are making progress in our provinces. Thank you very much for that. Deputy Chairperson, let me as well recognize Salga in absentia. It would have been good to complete this discussion with Salga's participation. Allow me to join other members who have noted that the 2022 NCOP Provincial Week program took place against the backdrop of the deteriorating state of our local municipalities in terms of good governance, service delivery, and community development in general. This trend continued to significantly reverse some of the qualitative gains of our democracy since 1994, April Democratic Breakthrough. Critical among these setbacks is the erosion of the trust and confidence of the people in our elected representatives. This has led to political disengagement by the people with their elected representative, which has given rise to proliferation of spontaneous violence, grassroots protest. Deputy Chair, whilst protest is another form of democratic engagement protected in our constitution, we should be worried as public representatives when protests take lawless and violent forms, and which include the destruction of public infrastructure and threat to human life. According to the study by Professor Peter Alexander of University of Johannesburg, these protests have assumed a rebellion of the poor against poor service delivery, joblessness and hunger, which has turned South Africa into the world capital of violent protests. Water, sanitation and electricity are fundamental human rights issues, which majority of our people, especially women, the poor and the downtrodden, continue to be denied these rights. The poor or lack of maintenance of water and sanitation infrastructure continue to turn streets in some municipalities into running water sewage, which threatens the hygiene and health of our people, especially young children. Among the common challenges faced by the municipalities across the country is the indebtedness to Eskom and water utilities for bulk supply of electricity and water. This does not only lead to disruption in the supply of these basic services, but also pose existential threats to Eskom and different water utilities, which play a critical role in the economy. In the not-so-distant past, we have read media reports about some companies threatening to relocate from poor-performing municipalities to stable and performing municipalities with huge potential for job losses. According to Section 154, Subsection 1 of the Constitution, national government and provincial government, by legislative and other measures, must support and strengthen capacity of municipalities to manage their own affairs, to exercise their own powers, and to perform their own functions. This brings into sharp focus the fundamental question of the efficacy, effectiveness, and impact of our oversight role as the only legislative chamber assigned with the constitutional mandate of promoting sound intergovernmental relations and cooperative governance. The provincial week was designed to give effect to the constitutional injunction of affording the permanent delegates a structured interface with and participation in their legislatures. This is not for its own sake, but as part of enabling permanent delegates to clearly understand the challenges of their provinces in terms of implementing national policy. In doing this, we cannot be neutral or oblivious to the glaring failure of provinces and municipalities in carrying out of their functions. In some instances, This do cause tensions at times where some legislatures feel the NCOP is taking their constitutional role of oversight over the provincial executive. In some instances, it becomes a source of irritation to provincial executive members who feel that they are not accountable to the NCOP. We need to be honest, we need honest conversation about these tensions so that there is a shared appreciation of the mandate of the NCOP by all stakeholders. Critical to this should be enhanced effort on our part in ensuring meaningful participation of provinces and SALGA in the design of our programs. Deputy Chair, I'm raising this because the Free State NCOP delegation visited one of the projects in the rural part of Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality without the presence of either municipal or provincial officials, as alluded to earlier. While it is understandable for the province not to be part of the visit due to budget vote debates in the legislature, the failure by Mangaung to send officials or councillors is totally unacceptable and in violation of Chapter 3 of the Constitution. Chairperson, it has become clear that the allocation of infrastructure grants to municipalities should be based on credible project plans and assurance of requisite capacity by municipalities to implement the planned project. Where this is not the case, provinces should be proactive by providing this capacity support before funds are transferred to the municipalities. Experience teaches us that where funds are allocated without requisite capacity, then that becomes a challenge. It is like throwing those funds into the sea because either project cost will be inflated, or unscrupulous contractors take advantage by doing shoddy and incomplete work in pursuance of profit maximization. Deputy Chair, we are making this point because at the core of wastages in most municipalities is poor planning, poor project design, and implementation. In fact, the Auditor General has called for the leadership, or in fact, in many ways, he asked where has been the leadership of these municipalities in these instances. In some instances, we also have politicians and municipal officials colluding in terms of poor workmanship schemes as part of the broader scheme that also give rise to corruption, and also a lot of money falls within the wayside. We welcome the decision of the Directorate of Priority Crime Investigation to set up the special task team focusing on municipal fraud and corruption. This has begun to yield positive results, with many cases reported by the Directorate to be on the court rolls for criminal prosecution across various municipalities in the country. These and other policy intervention measures will go a long way in terms of ending the culture of impunity by corrupt municipal officials. The issue of tightening our legislation to criminalize undue involvement and influence of councillors in the procurement and human resources municipalities cannot be overemphasized. Central to this should be the strengthening of the internal systems and capacity of municipalities to delete and report undue influences with full protection of the law. For us in the African National Congress, as my colleagues have done, the crisis of poor governance in the municipalities is not an isolated problem of local government, but also speak to the challenge of forging and consolidating the integrated cooperative governance. At the core of the task of consolidating the integrated cooperative governance should be the strengthening of the capacity of the NCOP to track and follow through critical decisions that it has taken in relation to intergovernmental relations and cooperative governance. For instance, among the difficult questions we ought to ask ourselves in this debate is what action plan and processes are we going to put in place to follow through the executive undertaking in relation to all issues we are debating today. We cannot continue as usual if we are to make impact without capacity and internal systems to track, monitor, follow through executive undertakings about resolving the problems of our people. This only is a critical test of success of our performance. This call for a fundamental relook of our modus operandi and planning. At the core of this would be a focus on cluster of municipalities which share a common cluster of problems and challenges. This should be accompanied by a clear plan with measurable outcomes per year. For instance, with the engagement of the relevant sector departments, provinces and affected municipalities, a determination should be made in terms of how much is owed by metropolitan municipalities to ESCOM, with clear action plan bound to clear time frame as to how much to be, how much the debt will be reduced over what period. The situation of the water and electricity crisis, that to be said that Maludiapofu municipality is a compelling case for this targeted and outcome-based approach. This has been there for many years and continue to escalate without abating. It is my contention in this debate that Parliament is not like a school classroom. It's not like in a school classroom where we chase the syllabus. Fundamental to our task is to address the problems of the people. We should remain focused in terms of dealing with these issues, not to chase numbers of meetings, which at the end of the day cannot yield positive results in addressing the problems of our people. The district development model will go a long way in strengthening integrated planning across the spheres of government as part of addressing some of these problems raised in this debate. I think it's a matter that we should continuously workshop, particularly amongst our opposition parties. This will also enhance capacity support of the national and provincial government to municipalities. The positive impact of the model has proven to yield positive results during the early stages of its pilot selected district municipalities. The key question of the NCOP is how we invigorate our monitoring of the model in actual arena of action and its impact on sustained basis. How we influence policy landscape towards differentiated model for funding of low income and rural municipalities is among critical tasks we must dare not fail in this term. Deputy Chair, to conclude, allow me to propose that as part of strengthening our work, we should perhaps consider either quarterly or biannual review of our work. I want to welcome all the contributions that honorable members has made, also critical questions that we must continuously answer that was raised by other members in the opposition benches, but also appreciate the contribution made by members of the ANC in no terms articulating that we do not exist for the next elections in the ANC. ANC is not an electoral platform. ANC is an organization of the people that must serve as an instrument at the disposal of the people. Where there are problems, we must consistently focus on dealing with those problems in mind without the next elections. Like the DA, everything else, they are obsessed about the upcoming elections in 2024. So that's not the focus. The focus is resolving people's problems. Thank you very much for the contribution of our members in this great debate. Thank you, Deputy Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Delegate. Thank you for the debate. And I will now put the question. The question is that the report be agreed to, but before we proceed to voting, I shall allow the provinces the opportunity to make their declarations of vote in terms of Rule 86 if they so wish. And you can just indicate if you want to make a declaration. If none, we shall proceed to the voting on the question. And the question is that the report be agreed to. I will now call upon the provinces to cast their votes. When called upon, heads of delegations must indicate whether they vote in favor, against, or abstain. Eastern Cape? Eastern Cape?
Good afternoon, Honorable Deputy Chair. Eastern Cape is voting in favor.
Thank you very much. Free State?
The state votes in favor, Honorable Deputy Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Gauteng?
Gauteng in favor, Honorable Deputy Chairperson.
Thank you very much, KwaZulu-Natal. Limpopo. Limpopo.
Limpopo votes in favor, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga vote in favor, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Northern Cape.
Vote in favor, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Northwest. 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 Western Cape.
Western Cape does not support the report because the process was flawed. Thank you.
Northwest. 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 Honorable members, voting is now closed. Seven provinces have voted in favor. So I will therefore declare the report agreed to in accordance with Section 65 of the Constitution. The report will be referred to the select committees for oversight over implementation of the resolutions taken. Honorable delegates, that concludes the business of the day. I wish to thank the House Chairperson committees, the Chief Whip, MECs, and all the permanent and special delegates who participated in the debate. For that, the House stands adjourned. Thank you very much, Honorable Members.
Mama.
Recording stopped.